United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Let's go! me right through the fog. I seen a beautiful city up here, oh, where kids are playing and people are laughing and smiling and living in fear. She says this is the place where no people are pain, with love and happiness. She turned around, looked down in my eyes, friend.
Save me from this living now. Save me from that. I'm gonna show you. Save me. She says she wanna be a star. She heard the money's good. She gets off from the train station. A man is waiting there. I'll show you what the money is. Girl, just let down your hair. He's taking her on the seat of Sunset Boulevard. She says her body high. Girl, that will take it for. The police come round the corner.
Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends. It's 16 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600. In studio with me is Jeff Green, and I am Tracy Winbush. I'm sorry if we had a late start. We had some technical issues this morning, but, you know, with the weather going on outside, we've had some technical issues for the last couple days. But the number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic today, and I'm on a Michael Jackson craze. You got a new CD out. A friend of mine asked me, how can Michael be singing? I said, you know, don't you know you can sing when you're dead now? You can sing from the grave. They pulled up his catalog, and they started reproducing it. And how you'd have escaped. Hey. Hi, Jeffrey.
I'm glad.
What?
Gee, thanks.
Okay.
I'm glad the technical things are happening to you for a change. Because usually every time you leave, stuff just says, oh, we're going to get Jeff.
That's right. See,
oh, man.
And so I'm just getting everybody a preview of Michael Jackson's new CD.
Yes, sir.
And you can download it on iTunes. Because I'm a Michael Jackson fan, and so you guys get stuck with me. You've heard this, right? How to get over.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-mm. Okay. So, what's, let's see. We I see Eric and Diva are already in the queue. And
Kavina Man.
Kavina's the man's not in the queue yet. He's in the chat room. Kamita Minty in the chat room.
Don't I see 626 there? No,
you
did
614. Jeff, don't be trying to read my board.
Apologize.
You can't
see who comes up over there.
You can't see. You're old. You know you're old. Why do you have Browns gear on?
Because I am a Cleveland Browns. I told you that. They were in the wash the other day. That's the only reason why I did not have them on. Now they're squeaky clean and smelling springtime fresh. And I'm wearing my Browns gear because it's cold outside.
Oh, baby, it's
cold outside.
You guys have to know what happens with me. I look outside.
Springtime is gone, baby. It's cold outside.
This is what I do. I get up in the morning, and I go run around the house and get my things done. And you know, if as long as it, you know, as long as it, I'm up and it's springtime, I expect for it to be all the same temperature for some reason. And I get my clothes on and get dressed and head for the door, and I open the door this morning, and my body said, I think you need a sweater, because if you go out there like that, you almost need a pair of shoes and a coat. If you go out there like you look right now, you're going to look crazy, and you're going to be cold. It is cold outside, Jeff. What's up with this?
Oh, man, I'm telling you what. I look so forward to those 70s of next week already.
What 70s?
Oh, it's coming Tuesday, Wednesday.
I need 70 now.
I need 70 today. I need. You
it's
know what? It might be that where you go. Where you
no,
going.
I checked.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I checked. I got to carry some mucklucks. It's like going to Alaska. I thought we had global warming.
Down south. Yeah, let's
global warming
going.
Thing. Hey, listen, Donald Sterling, I got to talk about him for a minute. I got to tell you something.
I'm glad he's challenging.
I told y'all that the boy wasn't just going to go away. Now,
no.
I want you to know, the Clippers are winning and he's making money. I just
well, not no more. They got eliminated yesterday.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm.
It was about time.
Oklahoma, please. Oklahoma is a beast team.
Who is Oklahoma? Oklahoma who?
Oklahoma basketball.
What's
the
name?
Forget that last. Forget their. The
Eric, your mic is on too, because somebody needs to tell me who is
Oklahoma Thunder. Oklahoma Thunder.
The Thunder.
Kevin Durant.
Stop.
Yeah. Oh, where did the Thunder came from? Somewhere else.
No.
Yes, it was Minnesota Thunder, and they must have moved to Oklahoma.
I don't know. Oklahoma. Them young boys run. And the only way LeBron and them beat them last year was that they slowed the game down to their pace because them boys was running and gunning and killing them.
I'm trying to talk about Donald Sterling.
Well, I mean, we can get to talk
about
Donald Sterling. Hey, we got 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Oklahoma.
Now.
Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes singing on the rain.
Right.
Okay.
Good.
I didn't know
right.
that was he.
Yes, ma'am. Out of Oklahoma City, they are tough. One of them likes my little niece. I got to figure out which one that is.
One of the team members?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, I should just say no, they ain't
Mm-mm.
right. So wait a minute.
No, he's saved.
He's saved?
Saved, sanctified, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost.
I read an obituary.
Holy Ghost!
I read an obituary yesterday in the paper.
I did too.
And I said, they just wanted everybody to know where he was going. Because in the obituary in the paper, it said he was, in 2007, he got saved, sanctified, and
filled
with
the
precious
Holy
Ghost.
Ghost.
I said, well, I'll be. Now, that's a testimony right
testimony.
There. In the obituary.
And I was wondering, I know that young boy. Still.
I don't know who he is. I know his family.
Yeah,
and so I want to send out my condolences to the Anderson
yes,
family.
Yes.
But I have no idea who he is.
Yeah,
and I was like, wow.
I felt so bad because
he's
I've
a
seen
young
his,
man.
Yeah, I said I've seen his face, and I'm trying to say where did I see what church, what, you know, or what that was because I go to tons of churches around here, but I couldn't place him. But
Donald Sterling.
Okay, what about Donald Sterling? You just want to get on something real serious already.
No.
You need to take
this
your
not
time.
Serious.
Take your time.
This is not serious. He said he ain't gonna give it up.
No.
And LeBron said he ain't gonna play.
He ain't gonna play for
yeah, LeBron.
The Heat.
Yeah, LeBron said he's sitting out the whole season next year if Sterling don't sell the team.
Oh, please. Shut up, LeBron. Now I'm disappointed in you. I ain't gonna burn my jersey.
Don't go serious yet. But I'm just saying,
I'm done with you, LeBron.
LeBron said he ain't gonna play. And we ain't heard nobody else follow suit.
No, because it's stupid.
Well, it might be stupid, but the point is, you know, he said he ain't gonna play.
Oh, so what happens when you don't have a father at home?
Donald Sterling said he ain't gonna sell, and
he should.
And V said. She gonna try to get out of town. Oh, wait a minute! They fired the man who released the tape on Jay-Z and Solange.
Yeah, what you thought?
But he got $200.
Ask him. Ask him. Does he care?
But the hotel said they're gonna sue him.
They can sue him all they want to.
They gonna sue him for his money.
Oh, they gonna try.
But he got $250,000.
Yeah, they can try to sue him, but you know.
$250,000.
They fired him. That's punishment.
$250,000.
Yeah. If he gets charged like that and they take his money, I won't play for the Heat.
Now hold on.
How about that one?
$250,000 for I mean, you don't even know what you can't even hardly see what it is.
Yeah.
I wonder if we can get can we go to take a ticket? I got a recorder. Can we go record something? Is there anything we can roll record? Because I need $250,000.
All we have to do is sit around City Hall for a little while.
You know.
We go down there and we climb up on top of the elevator, right? And just put a thing down in there and see who goes up and down the elevator and record them. I'm sure we will come away with something worth some money quickly. Because they're losing their mind in Youngstown, Ohio, you guys.
They ain't losing their mind. Hold
on. What is
going on?
They are. You know why?
Yeah.
They're caught now.
Yeah. No, they're not.
Yeah, what is going on up there, y'all?
This is what you call par for the course. This is just how we roll. It's the yo, and this is just how we go.
That's how we go.
And
this is how we do it.
This is how we go in the yo. This is just what happens.
This is how we do it.
And it never ends. So listen, you got to understand. We buy bad buildings. We criminalize those who don't want to buy the bad buildings. We give the same people money over and over and over and over again. They keep on buying themselves out of jail over and over and over again. And nobody says anything about anything. And then so a couple people, fall guys, go to jail. It's just how it rolls. This is the yell.
You got judges being indicted. You got mayors being indicted. I'm like, good grief, man.
It ain't over. Hey, all of y'all that listen when my sister calls in from time to time, 2 years ago, she said, I see that God's going to clean house again, and from your mayor's office on down, and I thought it was Sam Marone because Sam Marone was in there. But sure enough, she's on it one more time.
I'm telling y'all again.
I could have told everybody this was going to happen.
Listen,
I was on my Facebook election time.
Can I ask you a question? This is an important question.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that we continue to vote for the same people over and over again, no matter what? We vote them in when they're indicted.
Hopeless.
Because I can only speak for the people in Youngstown. They are, the Republican Party is the boogeyman, and they are brainwashed to be so afraid of Republicans and a possible Republican getting into office that they will go along with such stupidity.
So they will go to bed with the devil because they're afraid of the boogeyman.
Yes.
But hold up, though. Like, you also got to look at, and I was watching a video about this yesterday, the Republicans need to do a better job. And I don't think right now they think they can survive without minorities, but they're at a crossroads right now. They're going
to change their
rhetoric. They're going to have to start coming out with some real, you know, coming to the black community, shut up, don't tell them what they're doing wrong, and just sit and listen. And then start including and taking action behind what they say. If you don't do that, then you're really not serious about, you know, not only minorities, but about America. Because if not, the Democrats are going to keep winning. And I think it's getting to a point where they're going to keep winning regardless. And when they do, we're going to see the country going in their direction, which is Marxism. So
I have to tell you, I really believe this. See, this is the problem with the Republican Party. They can't handle the truth. They can't handle the truth face on. They have a problem with it. And they're intimidated by those people who try to tell them the truth. They believe that they can do it a better way. The Democrat Party, they don't want you to know the truth. Because I look at the Republican Party and you try to tell them, listen, we speak the same language, but we are of a different culture, and you cannot treat us the same way you do every other group of people. And they won't listen to that. They believe that their analytics can tell them the way black people think, and I hate to tell them, that's not how it works. We got our own way of doing things, and for some reason they just won't hear that. I don't know why that is, Jeff. Am I lying?
No, you're absolutely correct.
They got the analytics, and we're just trying to say you can't analytic black folk, because
no.
We'll change on you.
in a hot second.
So just when you think you got us analytics, we got something low for you. Okay. I'm going to take a break.
What, Jeffrey?
Nothing. I'm listening. I'm going to talk after this.
No,
I'm not letting you talk.
Do you know that the mothership connection went into the Smithsonian?
This is how we do it.
Oh,
it's Youngstown wide.
No, listen. The mothership, the Parliament Funkadelic mothership.
The mothership connection is here.
No, it's in the Smithsonian. They put it into the Smithsonian.
What you mean?
You
ain't got to see now.
Yeah,
where I'm at, you have no idea what's getting ready to happen. No idea.
But they're getting ready to fly the mothership.
You're going to see motherships very soon.
Jeffrey, I'm talking about the Parliament mothership.
You know that that's how he came to write that song?
Yeah, because he was high.
And he
saw the mothership. And he was driving out west. He was high smoking some ganja.
It don't matter.
In the air, and he saw a mothership, and he said, I got a new song to write, and that's what he wrote. I'll be right back. You're listening to the Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 29 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 16th of May, and we'll see you on the other side of our break.
Man, it's quiet. No Alabama, no Eric.
What's up? But was later repossessed and among the pyramids until a more positive attitude towards this most sacred phenomenon, clone the funk, could be acquired. There in these terrestrial projects, it would wait along with its co-inhabitants of kings and pharaohs, like sleeping beauties, for the kiss that would release them to multiply in the image of the chosen one, Dr. Funkenstein. And funk is its own reward.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are?
Alrighty then.
Diva.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Mike. Hi. I want to apologize for yesterday. I didn't realize I came across sounding so harsh because I was joking about most of that. And I realized, and then later on I had a conversation with South Carolina, and I didn't come across with that, but I was 80% of what I was saying I was just joking about, because I just, my honest feeling is I don't fully understand the impact, and I said this to Tracy on the air yesterday, if you checked.
No, Mike, you were serious, Mike. You were serious. I heard you. Now what?
Well, I was, you know, it was kind of like tongue-in-cheek. It's just that I just...
Mike. I didn't hear you. I cut the show off, Mike. I ain't even hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Elvin. Appreciate that. You probably made a wise move there. I didn't mean to sound like... It's just that I would rather just deal with people as people in a one-on-one situation and see what I can do to help their situation rather than keep labeling everybody into these smaller and smaller niches, because it's just about the time you get a feeling you could help somehow... Somebody comes up with a new niche, and now you got to rethink everything you were going to do to help. And sometimes helping people is nothing more than just telling them you believe in them. And making yourself available to share some things that if they come to you with a question and say, hey, I got a situation, here's what I'm working on, this is my goal, this is my passion, do you know any way to, you know, get from point A to point B? And then you share with them on a personal experience, you know, and that's, you know... I don't know. Anyway, Diva, you know, finding your heart to forgive me as a Christian, and I never stop loving you.
Oh, don't worry about it, Mike. I mean, you know, we get into our little heated debates and our heated discussions, but I know you don't really mean any harm. So, I mean, it's been forgiven and forgotten long after not too long after it happened.
Yeah. Now I got a few things I want to tell Jeff when he comes back on the air. Just,
oh,
just
Lord.
To tease him. Have, no, just to make him laugh, because a follow-up of yesterday, there is something that blind people have been disenfranchised from as a job and an economic opportunity, and I'm going to hit him with it because now that's no longer the case, and because of their topic they were discussing, and I just want to have fun. Because for years, you know the paparazzi, you know how they run around and they take photos and they sell them for $1 million? That's all a job a blind person can do.
But, you and your jokes said
it. You know, this is a job that, you know, that no matter how much federal training you get, no matter how many programs they come out with, no matter how much technology they come out with, you ain't going to see no blind paparazzis out there. And I want to go somewhere with that because of their discussion they were having about the person who got that $250,000 bounty.
Alabama, is that you?
Yeah, he's in his car.
His window's down?
Steve, how many times you done heard me call this show? And every time I unmute my mic, you hear me. And actually, I ain't even go to work. I'm working from home today. So I'm just riding over here. Get me a haircut right quick.
Okay, what kind of vehicle do you drive?
Well, actually, there's nothing wrong with the vehicle. It's the there's something wrong with the axle, like on the right side. I just ain't had time to go over there and get it fixed. But, I mean, anything wrong with the car. The car run fine. I mean, it just, you know, I got a little something. Hey, Mike, they got this, what is it, 16-unit apartment building over here. I think they get like $8,000 a month altogether, man. It ain't number $400,000.
Wow.
That's a good deal.
Yeah,
they think about it. Don't need a lot of money. Don't need a lot of repair work or nothing
right,
like that either.
What you do is the old standard, and from what I'm hearing, it still will work because real estate prices are down so low right now. Take the annual gross revenue, multiply it by 7 for 7 years, and if that adds up to be more than the sale price, that's a good deal. That was the old formula.
Deal.
So in your case there, it's about 4 years and 2 months, and the thing would be paid for if you could divert all the gross. That's a good deal at $400,000.
Yeah, it's
$8,000 times 12. 1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic today. And I hope you're having a good day today. It's 36 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. And what are y'all talking about in there?
Well, we were talking about, I had a comment to make to Jeff, that all my life, you know, you think about things that blind people can't do, and it always bothered me that people could buy a camera, a cheap camera, become a paparazzi, make $1 million for getting a photo, and that's something no blind people will ever do. But now I'm hearing about that $250,000 you guys were talking about for getting an audio recording. Well, now blind people are equal. We could be audio paparazzi. And I like
to No. It wasn't audio. It was a video.
Oh, I thought it was an audio.
It's a video.
Well, see, now I'm back to being a member of the disenfranchised, disabled minority.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the other thing was, hey, Jeff, as a musical note, they found Casey Kasem.
Well, where did they find him at?
They found him on
an Indian reservation.
They found him on an Indian reservation, and when they asked him what he was doing there, he was doing the top 40 for the tribe. And but because of his limited skills, being older and having some communication problems, they felt cheated because he rated all the songs the same. He said, not much for melody and lyrics, but I give it a 10. You can dance to it.
Mike, your jokes are getting cornier by the day.
I did that just for
Wyoming,
Jeff.
Jeff
walked out the room. You
oh, darn, did I waste it all?
And please don't do it again.
You wasted it, man.
It was the worst corny. It was his jokes are getting worse and cornier as the day goes by.
It was a brilliant joke, Jeff, about music.
It was corny. Corny.
Well, let's poll the audience. Did you guys think it was corny? Should I, like, hang up and flip my wrist in shame?
You have to slip.
No,
just don't do that no more.
Just fall on your sword, man. Don't slit your wrist. Supple cool.
You don't cut your wrist. That's not necessary. Just don't do that again.
Yes, ma'am.
Supple cool.
Take all the fun out of a blind guy's life.
Yeah, somebody got to do it. Take the wind out of your sails.
Old blind guy.
Absolutely. It's not like we don't love you or nothing. I'm not going to talk behind your back. I just tell you straight out to your face, don't do that again. Bad joke. Well, I got that out of the way.
Yeah, okay.
So.
Be one of them angry black women we were talking about a few weeks ago. Go ahead, beat up our
absolutely.
Old blind white guy.
You always, absolutely.
So why is the government training their officials on how to deal with the zombie apocalypse?
Because they trying to, because they know the people are walking dead.
Say that again.
Because they're watching Jesse Waters on Fox talk to some of these young kids. They are zombies.
Oh my God.
Listen, I told you guys that most Americans are the walking dead right now. They just don't know it.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the veterans. I have a question. You know, everybody's screaming about the bureaucracy at the Veterans Administration, and why the government. There are a couple agencies in the government that are so antiquated when it comes to their technology. But that's what happens when you don't have a good public-private partnership. People who are in the military may not know systems and organizations like that, and if you do not know how to take those hundreds of thousands of files and know how to put them into a query. That's what happened to the rollout inside of Obamacare. They didn't go ask anybody, how do we roll out this to, you know, the whole population?
Uh-huh.
And so I don't understand why the government can't understand that they think they know it all, but they don't. And if you want to see what's going to happen to your health care, look at the Veterans Administration.
Yeah. That's two for two. The Native Americans, the way the government took care of them 100 years ago and the way they're taking care of the veterans now, you begin to get the message. They're not going to be able to take care of 50 or 100 million of us.
There's no way. They don't know how. They don't have the capacity, and they don't have enough money to do so.
Yeah.
This is a clear-cut case of why you don't want the government being responsible for very serious parts of your life. You know why? Because they are going to fail because government only has so much money. They only take money from you to be able to do the things that they do. And look at right now. Big business is doing fine, but the people are doing horribly. And, you know, that means your tax base is eroded in the federal, state, and local government.
Uh-huh.
And Americans need to understand, your government is not designed. It's truly not designed to handle administrative stuff. It's just not. It just doesn't have the capacity. It doesn't have the wherewithal to do that. And why people think that it's going to benefit you and going to make your life better in the long run, and Social Security is broke. The VA is in a mess, and everything else they touch is bad, and they think you're going to help you. You've got something highly mistaken. Hey, how you doing, Sticks? Good morning.
I'm doing great, Tracy. Hey, I've been reading more of that book, the folks we had on the other day, the Uncle Sam Can't Count book.
Yeah.
And every company in the history of the United States that was born of government subsidy has gone bankrupt. It's just amazing. And the thing is that the people that popped up to compete with them actually kicked their backsides. All the while, the people were going back to the government, put chains on their competition.
People have been indoctrinated to believe that the government's supposed to solve their problems, and they don't understand that the government cannot solve their problems. There's no way.
No, they create more problems for you because they're going to charge you for everything that happens.
And there are a group of bureaucrats, if you look at the sum total of knowledge base of all your congressmen and all your senators, including your president, they really can't get a sandwich out of a paper bag, if the paper bag is broken.
Well,
because if you've never experienced something, you've never really went through something, and you try to fix something that you've never been through, you're not going to know how to fix it. You're going to know how to maybe stop a wound. Like, I'm not a doctor, but I know how to stop my finger from bleeding if I get a cut. But I don't know how to get in there and sew it up and keep it from bleeding profusely. And that's what you have going on. Because I can't understand how the VA is in such a mess.
The
real problem is nobody in government has any incentive to do anything better, faster, and cheaper.
Right.
And private business has every incentive to do things better, faster, cheaper.
Everybody in the government goes home at 4:30.
And then you put in, then they put these artificial requirements in on how many patients they had to see. They didn't have the funding to hire the additional doctors, so they just did what humans do and went around the system.
I think the problem is that you have the public, you have the government pointing fingers and looking at private industry as the bad guy, and you got private industry looking at telling you government's the bad guy. I don't understand why they can't work together,
Let her finish and then jump in, because we're gonna not talk across everybody.
That's
the new rule. Go ahead, Diva.
I don't see how government and private industry working together is a bad thing. I don't see it. When they compete against each other, yes, it becomes a bad thing. Working together, I just don't see it.
Okay, what about Solyndra? There was a government working with a private industry, and what happened? You need to look at this book for the folks that Uncle Sam can't count, because throughout the history of the country, it's been every time the government works with a company, the company no longer has a reason to make a profit because they can always go back to the government for more money, and it causes corruption.
There is a book about the private sector called Good to Great, and in short, what the book teaches in about 600 pages, the corporations in America that went on to be great was because they had to struggle because it wasn't good. When you're subsidized by the government, you start out with good. Everybody in the office gets a guaranteed paycheck. Why? There's federal money there. Nobody has to struggle. Nobody has to think creatively to be efficient, you know. And the actual statistic is for every dollar the government takes from us as citizens in taxes, we only get 30 cents back in benefit. It would be better, Dave, if they left that dollar in your pocket so you could figure out how you want to spend it in your local community.
How come the VA is in shambles, but the Medicare and Medicaid system is not? You have people...
Yes, it is in shambles.
Hold on. You have people screaming, keep your hands off my Medicare, don't touch it.
I get to jump in.
Medicare, their
processes, as far as their files may not be in shambles, but being able to fund it is in shambles. It's not a smoothly run, self-sufficient organization that is not in a bad situation.
Right. The missions are different too, Diva. In the healthcare provider, in Medicare and stuff, once you're set up on a check and you get a check every single month coming to you, you're in the system. A veteran doesn't go for a colonoscopy on the second of every month, and it's pre-scheduled. They have different needs, and in the Veterans Administration, it's all run by bureaucrats. These people go home at 4:30 in the afternoon, and they still get a full paycheck next Friday, even if they were right or wrong or didn't hit quotas or anything. And then, like Jeff said, or Sick said, when they gave them new rules to follow, what they did was they created an internal system to obey the new rules. That didn't necessarily increase the quality of what they were doing for their mission. It just made them comply with the new rules.
Right. And there's another thing you have to remember, VA versus... The VA is the Department of Health Services in England, for all intents and purposes. That's exactly how they run... That's your single-payer system, if you want to go back, Eva, is the VA.
To a large extent,
Medicaid both are being subsidized by the private insurers and the people who pay cash. Because in a lot of cases, the doctors are not receiving the compensation from Medicare and Medicaid they need to cover their expenses, so they're overcharging their other clients. And they're doing Medicare and Medicaid basically out of charity.
Well, it's not even out of charity. It's because it's just money.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, we're not going to.
That's why when you go into the doctor's office and you sit there all day long and you have to pack a lunch.
Right.
That's what's going on.
And they're telling you that we no longer are going to accept any more Medicaid or Medicare patients. Why? Because they're not paying anything. And that's because the government cannot do it because they don't produce anything. That is the thing that I don't know how to say it. It's just like having a homosexual company, a couple, and you thinking that you're going to get kids out of it. You can't because they can't produce.
Well,
now they can adopt.
Example,
go ahead.
For example, my physician. My physician has a one-physician office. He has two nurses and four office girls. What's the overhead on that office for one physician? Because he's the only guy earning money in the whole place.
Well, like I said.
Go ahead, Eric.
And I get liberals tell me all the time. They're trying to justify all the spending in the government. They say, well, you got to spend money to make money. It's like, come on, people. The government is not a business.
It doesn't make money. It takes money. And it takes your money. And what you fail to realize is you work almost 8 months, I believe, and I have to get the right number, but you work almost 8 months a year to make $1 because everything else is in fees and taxes.
$202 in license plates I just spent for a year.
That's because you got 973 cars.
But anyway, you just have to look at that. Understand that government does not generate income. They take it. They don't generate it. And that's why it is such a travesty when you have a government that overregulates business. And actually, you heard the fable of the goose that laid the golden eggs, how the farmer killed the goose thinking he was going to have all these gold eggs inside. And then he killed the goose and didn't have anything inside. That's what our government is doing to us right now. And it's not just the Obama administration.
Let's talk for
Sorry
a moment about
that.
A great doctor. Yeah. Dr. Hill at Associated.
Dr. Hill wanted to jump in.
Yeah, I see him. And that's my cat. Anyway, think of that. That's what they're doing. They're killing you. They're killing you with regulation. Coal. Coal is the fastest growing energy source in the world. Fastest growing energy source in the world. But our government is going to try to squelch it because they're talking about, global warming. And guess what? The rest of the world is saying, we're not doing this.
This is come, and I was talking to someone yesterday, and this comes from the American people having a very, very limited education on how government works. Government is not supposed to be a take care of everybody. It's supposed to be an infrastructure for which the whole country stands on. Your government administration is supposed to be a foundation. It sets rules and laws for good governance and for day-to-day activity. But it's not supposed to be a weight to the people. And what's happening is you are now making your government a weight. And because of your socialized mindset, you are making it to where they're going to take half your income and then give it back to you as they see fit. And most times they opt themselves out. Can we also say Social Security? Does it make any – I really want people to keep on understanding this. Why in the world do you have Social Security as a private worker, but they have their own private pension funds called Federal Pension Fund, State Pension Fund, School Teachers Pension Fund, and Police Pension Fund?
Will you leave my pension fund alone?
I'm just saying, Jeff. I'm just saying.
Just leave my pension fund.
I'm just saying. I mean,
not in my don't
Don't touch mine. But, I mean, I'm being facetious.
Now, I got to take a break in a minute, but I got a question for Styx. Styx.
Yeah.
I got a text message from you yesterday. Were we really broadcasting 93.2 on?
Yep. It was staticky, but absolutely you were for about an hour and a half.
What happened?
Because I told the engineers here, and they made me think I needed to go to the loony bin.
I'm telling you, I had 600 AM on my radio, and I was listening to WDJQ.
I just want you to know, they had me in a straitjacket yesterday afternoon because I went and told them that we would listen to FM on the AM. And they told me
absolutely
there's no way that could happen. And I said, look at my text. I told them the person that texted me was a Looney Tune.
It was, I'm telling you. My radio was on 600 AM, and it was fuzzy, but you were broadcasting WDJQ. I don't know how it backfed through or what, but that's what was happening.
Well, you have to realize we were down for a little while. I'm going to go and take my break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Hey, Styx.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, life. It's all good. It's all good. Now that Diva and I kissed and made up.
How's the weather down there?
It's hot and beautiful. It rained yesterday. We had on and off thunder showers. Got a fair amount of rain. We needed it. We hadn't had rain in probably 10 days, and this time of year it's hot to not have rain at least a couple times a week, you know. Usually it manifests itself in late afternoon thunder showers,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it does down in Florida.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to build an ark.
Ark, you're still rain up there, huh?
Oh, yeah. Rain yesterday, rain today.
Yeah.
No, it's not supposed to rain today. It's supposed to start late tonight, go all the way through tomorrow.
Wow.
I got a 44-foot basement wall that has to be replaced. Tree root shoved it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So that guy can't get in there. The only thing that's holding the house up is it's sitting on the ends, and it's sitting on, years ago I put two jack posts at the bottom of the steps because it was starting to sag where the basement steps, you know,
yep.
the box was for the steps.
Yep, yep.
So it's sitting on those two jack posts and the end.
Wow.
You can shove your whole arm between the sill plate and the top of the foundation.
Wow. what the heck's going on with the foundation that it's sagging like?
Well, the house was built in 1900.
Yeah.
And it was built with those square tiles. Those square tiles.
Yeah.
So there's no pulling it back, even if I would excavate, you know, and try to put dead men in it and pull it back. Those things they're so brittle, they just explode.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all going to have to be. The guy's going to come in. He's supposed to get started the first of the week. He's going to come in. They're going to trench it. And I've been told there's no footer under it.
Probably not.
So they got to pour a footer.
Yeah, they didn't think they needed one.
It's a real shallow basement. It's only got four courses in the ground.
Okay, so you're getting a lot of frost heave then.
Right, and one guy I had give me a bid told me there was places in this area we had 42 inches of frost this year.
Yeah, yeah, and it has been a cold winter. Up north we used to have to build for 42 inches in Connecticut and lower New England, but when we could and we didn't hit ledge or anything, we would go to the 48-inch standard on the, you know, 50-year weather event, you know.
I was talking to a guy from Wisconsin down at the races in Richmond, and he was telling me that I think their code up there is 60 inches.
Yeah.
And they had places up there this winter that had frozen pipes in the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. We also, when we design for geothermal systems, and we put our heat loops into the ground, in the old standard, they would try to keep near the house just to preserve it and keep it all near the house for maintenance and stuff, and they found that over the years you got to get those heat loops away at least 10 or 15 feet from the house, because if you're too close, you can pull so much heat in the winter out of the ground to heat your home that you'll actually drop your frost line down to 8 or 9 feet, and they were heaving foundations up north.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because
you'll freeze your own ground pulling the heat out of it, you know?
Hey, guys, I had a question, guys. This is Eric and Warren. I'm sure you guys are aware of all those wildfires out there in California.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, why wouldn't the state of California at some point just develop an infrastructure where they can actually pump that seawater from the ocean into a certain point and use that, not to drink, but just to put out fires? Now, somebody told me that the reason they won't do that is because the seawater will corrode the lines inside the fire trucks. But couldn't they simply just flush those out when they're done at the end of the day?
The salt will poison the ground.
Yeah. The main thing is, yeah, the salt water, you'll poison the ground and nothing will grow in it.
Nothing will grow, okay.
But part of their problem out there is they built reservoirs for a 5-year drought, and then these morons decided to let all the water out of them because of the fish.
Wow.
We just had drought for a very long time here in California. A lot of those reservoirs are just empty because we haven't had rain. We don't get rain here. It will be 102 degrees here in the middle of May.
Well, Kavina, man, believe me, man, in Ohio we got a lot of rain, and we could be happy to loan you.
Yeah, I think when all the polar caps melt, the water is going to go somewhere. It's going to hit the atmosphere, or it's going to raise in the ocean, but it's not going to disappear. The water's going to go somewhere. So it's you know, just starting. You're going to have longer winters and all that. Your winters might extend into June sometime, you know, as the polar caps keeps melting.
Yeah, but Kavina, man, my dad's 76 years old. He's seen snow on the 4th of July in Wisconsin. So this is nothing new. It's just weather cycle.
Yeah, I know. But that was just, you know, your father's 70-something years old. You're going to see it more often. If things happen occasionally, occasionally we might get snow in Southern California. I haven't seen it yet, but somebody is alive to see it. But who knows with the weather change, it's gonna be more frequent.
I'm gonna have to get off. I can't even. It's muffled here, so I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
What happened to Alabama and Diva with the filibusters?
Hold on, Kavina, man. Do you say that I filibuster like Alabama does?
Nothing like Alabama.
It's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
There are calls for one of Wolfboro's police commissioners to resign after he used a racial slur to describe President Obama. A person overheard the commissioner's statement and brought it to the town's attention. Our Nick Spinetta was at the meeting tonight and joins us with more. Nick.
Well, Shelley, Police Commissioner Robert Copeland makes no apologies for his comments about President Obama. What Copeland said, we can't even repeat on television. It was a racial slur that prompted at least 100 people to demand his resignation.
This is a public office, and I just want to simply say there's absolutely no room for this anywhere in the public office. Thank you.
I think his statements are reprehensible. And
one after the other, Wolfboro residents voiced their anger about racial slurs Police Commissioner Robert Copeland made about President Obama. The incident took place at this restaurant back in March. Jane O'Toole heard it and was outraged.
It was not like I was eavesdropping on a table next to me or a table across the room. He was very loud.
But Copeland was silent during Thursday night's meeting. When asked to resign, he said nothing. But he did say plenty in a letter to Jane after she wrote to his bosses about that racial slur toward President Obama.
The letter really took the wind out of my sails, actually.
In that letter, he admitted using, quote, the N-word in reference to the current occupant of the White House. For this, I do not apologize. He meets and exceeds my criteria for such.
It was an open admission of being racial.
Now, because they didn't get the answers inside, a mob of people like Whitney White demanded answers after the meeting was over.
It's hurtful.
White and several others confronted Copeland as he went to his car.
where he made no apologies about what he said.
I admitted what I did. I made no bones about it.
But he was very clear he did not want us to record this conversation in the parking lot.
If you want to talk further when this nosy individual is not
bothering. I'm not a nosy individual. I'm a reporter doing my job.
I know what you are. You're a skunk.
Okay, and why is that?
Goodbye.
Well.
Clearly things got heated outside as well. Copeland did not resign tonight. Instead, the police commission will meet to discuss what they should do next, but they would not tell the audience where that meeting will be or when.
Well, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Which one?
You're a skunk.
No, you cannot. No, what was that called?
People skunk in there?
No, because.
Oh, no, you can't.
Skunk. No.
That was good. He said it with such disgust. You're a skunk.
No.
Hey, Tracy.
You can't use that.
Hey, Tracy, I didn't hear the whole thing. What was that about?
He called Obama the N-word.
Some guy who works for, he's a deputy sheriff.
The N-word and more.
Police commissioner. He's not
a
deputy.
He's
sure.
A commissioner. And he called the president
city?
An N-word.
I'm sure he speaks for 90% of the police in America. Right there. Obama.
Oh, man.
And so is the rest of us. That's the way.
Do you ever get outside of... Can I ask you? Kavina, man, do you ever get outside of L.A.?
I went down Mississippi for my father's funeral.
Well, Mississippi don't count.
You ever been up in the Northeast? No.
The answer
Northeast
to that would be no.
Is just as liberal as Northern California. I lived in New Hampshire for 9 months, and they are far left, and that's why these people are having such disgust. Because if it was in Mississippi, nobody would have said a word. You'd have never seen this.
You got to understand.
Come to life.
Right now, we have a problem with people saying what's on their mind. And I'm going to continue to say this. I don't like people calling anyone the N-word. And
no. Please
don't call me that because I will hate to call you a skunk.
You're a skunk.
But
I love that.
Freedom of speech.
I know Jeff
freedom
like
of
that.
Speech.
No. This is a police commissioner. This is a person.
It's the president. Do you really believe that the president and
the
privacy? Do you believe that the president and Michelle Obama and Mrs. Robinson, in the privacy of their own conversation, hasn't said some things in that room that they would not want anyone to get out?
I could believe that because I don't talk like that. I don't say stuff
Diva,
like that.
Diva. Promise, you cannot tell me that everything that you say within the course of every day, you would want somebody to record and rebroadcast.
My life's not that exciting, so it don't matter. I mean, they could. I mean, you won't get nothing. You'd be like, wow, she's so boring. I promise you, I couldn't get reality show.
That's not what I said, Diva. Reality is, and average people, there are people say things in private conversations. He didn't say it to someone who was offended by it. Someone overheard him. That was listening in on their conversation. If you're listening into my conversation and you're sitting at the next table from me at a restaurant and you're offended by what I say, then that's just too bad because it was my private conversation and you should have kept your nose out.
No. Having a private conversation, Tracy, is one thing. A police commissioner saying that, you think he feels just like that about the president? No,
it
this is a police commissioner.
It doesn't matter. And in Wolfboro, New Hampshire, because I was there last year, you ain't got to worry about racial profiling because they ain't got but two. I stopped a black man in the airport and said, is there anybody that looks like you here in this area? Because I didn't see nobody black all the time I was there, except for the pilot, and he was shipped in.
Imagine if you came across this guy. Imagine what you would have gone through
because
he black people.
Diva, I lived up there for 9 months. It doesn't matter because, listen, they were shooting black folks in the middle of Boston when I was up there, and I was 30 miles from Boston, and we used to go back and forth on the weekends to party. And guess what? I didn't stop going to Boston.
And Boston is one of the most racist places
racist
I've ever been
in
my life. And
that has to do with those townspeople wanting this guy removed from office because he has shown some racial bias.
Well, hold on.
He said he called the president an N-word. That's his business. He can do that.
Hold on.
Yeah, all right.
But this is the important part here, is that there's a couple places that you make sure you don't want racists to be. One is on the police force. The other one is on your jury.
Exactly.
That's where you don't want racists. And if you have a cop, which I was trying to say, I wasn't saying the area of Boston or whatever he's from. I'm just trying to say, if you have a policeman who's calling black people or anybody the N-word, that's a big red flag. If you happen to be going through that town or any town USA, if you got a cop that's calling black people N-word.
What, listen to what I'm saying. We are oversensitizing a situation. Do you realize how many N-words you've been called?
Yes,
by
ma'am,
so many people that you tend to call your friend and be in love with? And as a matter of fact, have you heard any black folks call anybody the N-word lately?
No. I don't hear nobody calling the black people calling each other nigger. I don't hear that. Nigger,
well,
yes. Nigger, no.
Whatever. It's the same thing.
Hi, South Carolina. Good morning.
No, it's not.
Yes.
Don't. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Come on, folks. Come on, y'all. Look, the man has every right in the world to call anybody whatever he wants to. Granted, there are consequences. And legally, there are some things that you cannot speak freely. Like, you can't speak, you know, you can't say fire in a crowded theater. You can't go to a police officer and give him a false statement because there's consequences. But this man said what was on his mind. Did he call every black person in America a nigga? No, he just called Barack Obama, the current occupant of the White House. So what is the problem? He's got a problem.
Hey,
some
seniors in Forsyth County, graduating from college, held a banner outside of their dorm room saying, nigga, we made it. Forsyth County is in Columbus, Georgia, which is all white. There are 0% African Americans. Where's the outrage?
Are they Democrats?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. There you go.
That's
right
why.
There. I'm just saying. You guys are eroding freedom of speech like it's nobody's business. Hi, Stanley. Good morning. AK, guys, listen. The rules have changed. We will not talk on top of people. We're going to let everyone finish their statement, and then I will call you to speak. Go ahead, Stanley.
The problem is, and I have to, I don't understand who was the one who made the comment, but I think it's convenient, man. If it's a person of power and you're saying nigger, you have a problem. I'm sorry. If you're a person of power.
Can you just say N-word?
If you say the N-word, if you're a person of power, you're the policeman, you're out. I don't care who you are because that tells me a lot about you. That tells me that you could be arresting me. You could use your power against me because I'm black. And you could do stupid things because I'm black. And I don't agree with that.
Yeah, he may be commissioner now, but he used to be a cop.
Exactly. You could be a cop. You could become a judge. You could change the whole thing. You could put a person in prison just because if you're racist and you have power, you're done.
But listen to what I'm saying.
Done.
Listen, it's better to know a racist and deal with the racist being open than to think I can just let me hold it in and think I'm not a racist and think I'm your friend and you keep on holding on to me. Go ahead, Jeff.
But Tracy, if you do
Stanley, listen. The rules are I will call everybody to speak. Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay. I can somewhat agree with you, Stanley, but guess what? Most people are not going to tell you that that's what they think. And so, therefore, you are suffering under delusion if you think that a whole lot of policemen and police chiefs and senators, governors, representatives, and whatever other authority are not thinking nigger in the back of their mind. You got another thing coming. And guess what? Again, I'll say it like this. You cannot stop somebody unless they have exhibited activity that says that they are racist and that they govern themselves according to that particular vernacular. Because guess what? There's a lot of black people that call people that name too. And there's and there's a whole lot of nice liberal people that think the same thing.
And not only that, just because they don't call you that, and if somebody says something to you, you don't know in what tone you. And just because you say the word does not make you a racist.
I got a question.
Yeah, go. Who's that? Six.
Yeah. What if he'd have said he's an ignorant POS communist SOB or something to that effect? Would there still be the same outcry?
No.
And that to me is a worse degradation than that other word.
That's to you.
But
that's
six,
to
six. No. Sorry.
That's to you. Cause you
see,
don't.
That's
to
I
you.
Didn't call
say,
your name
exactly.
out. Hold. I didn't call you. Neither one of y'all names out. Chill out. 627. Your mic is on.
I just wanted to say what he said about Magic Johnson and his behavior, the fact that he went to different cities and he slept with so many women, that
what?
Was not behavior.
What are you talking
Sterling
about?
Said about
we weren't talking about Donald Sterling. We're not talking about Donald Sterling. We're talking about a police chief in Wolfboro, North Hampshire, and New Hampshire.
Yeah, but basically what you're saying is what people think and what they say in private, those types of things can't be policed, meaning that you can't control what people's private thoughts or what their private conversations is.
What I'm saying is what people say in the privacy of their own homes in their private conversation is called freedom of speech.
Right.
And
right.
I don't have to like the speech that you give, but you have the freedom to say it. And if you happen to work in an organization, unless I say it inside that organization to someone and I break a rule, then that's a problem. Because if this thought police, this speech police that we have right now, is getting ready to backfire on everybody. Because I just heard where a person called
liberal fascism.
Didn't you hear what I said? You will not overtalk anyone, including me.
Go ahead.
What I'm saying is, what's happening? Because there was a talk show in Dallas, and I'm going to play the clip at the bottom of the hour. They said because the gentleman from the Dallas from the Dolphins who typed OMG and off or horrible in a tweet after he saw Michael Sam kissing his boyfriend and licking cake off his face.
Oh God!
So you have to realize they called that racist because he said OMG horrible. In a tweet, the politically correct police are coming to a place near you. Because if you begin to hear these conversations that we have in private, it's getting to the place where you can't say anything about anything because you don't want to offend anyone, and that's not life.
Well, that's what George Orwell talked about in his book, 1984.
Okay. Somebody, I think that was you, Six.
Yeah. Is everybody aware that entire Michael Sam's thing was staged for a reality show on the Oprah Winfrey Network?
No.
Yeah.
And I haven't read that.
They've been filming a reality show about him going to the NFL for weeks.
Yeah, if you watch closely in that video, you can see there are several other people. They're actually women, actually, which doesn't surprise me, working for the Oprah Winfrey Network. They were filming the whole thing, too. And
they're going to do an entire reality
cameras.
Show.
Six, don't talk on top. Go ahead, Eric.
I mean, they had professional lighting and everything else. It wasn't just one guy with the camera. There were about four or five cameras filming this whole thing.
Go ahead, Aminty.
Right.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing great this morning. Just to make a quick comment, if you talk about Donald Sterling, I wanted to comment about that, but if that's if y'all talking about that.
Well, I'm talking about people being able to police you and then you being fined or losing your jobs and losing your credibility because you said something. You have the Constitution says freedom of speech, if I'm not mistaken. And I need to know Where do I have to stop speaking and I lose my freedom if I do?
Okay. Now, the who was it? Whoever commented and said something about the profession. Yes. I feel that when you're in a certain profession, a police officer, government or stuff, in a position where you are about the people, and you begin to make these type of racial comments, especially for a police officer, it is a major thing, because now my question is your intentions every time you arrest somebody because they are committing a crime or because of the color of their skin? So in cases of people like that, then I say, yes, there is a punishment for that because of the type of profession that you have. You are supposed to be for the people no matter what race, color, whatever. And if you're talking like that, then yeah. Now, I don't get too much into politics. I mean, that was just his opinion about Obama, but he still made the comment about the president. So I'm still going to get in trouble whether it was the president or not. So that's just my comment to that. Now, the Donald Sterling thing, I thought it was hilarious. I mean, that was just that's just my personal opinion. There's some things that were said that I thought was funny. I saw the humor in that, and that's just how I feel, you know?
Thanks. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah.
I'd just like to say that then guess what? What you say or what anybody in any position of authority says, they're not allowed to have an opinion. They have to get lockstep with whatever the social mores is of that time. And if you get outside of it, and this is how the left does and thinks, they're fascist. If you get outside of it, you're to be put down. Because they're not going to just start making you lose your job. They're going to start putting you to death for thinking different than the regular people. And you don't think that that's going to happen? You watch.
But yes.
Well, let me you read what you
Stanley,
saw. You
Stanley,
have to
hold on,
see
hold
sometimes.
Hold on. Hold on. Amenti. Hold on. Who's dialing the phone? Go ahead, Stanley.
The problem I'm hearing with you, Jeff, is I'm sorry, we're in 2014. So if you as a person used to be a racist or whatever and used to think in the 1950s you could say nigger and all those words, and now you say 2014, I can't say those things anymore and I have to. Yes, you have to go back to the time. Maybe in 1950, 1930s, whatever, it was normal for you saying those things. Not now. There's consequence of what you do. And, yes, I do agree with the other caller is saying. And, yes, I am against what you're saying, Jeff. Yes, you will be put into whatever we need to do.
Hold on.
We will fire you if you're a racist.
Go ahead, Amenti.
I see things in another light, and I want to say that, you know, there is something – you can say – I understand you can say what you want. And that is your personal opinion. But there's some who say things in the way that it's like a lesson. I understand you could say what you want, but there still could be consequences in what you say. Do you understand what I'm saying?
See, this is my question. A conversation in a private conversation between me and Jeff, and a conversation while I'm on duty in a squad car and or making an arrest is different. I can be the most racist person in the world, yet I can still do a job.
Can I tag in, Tracy?
Hold on, because you got to realize, I may hate you, but I won't spit in your food when I serve you.
That's what you get.
So you have morals. That's just morals.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, what's happening is you're getting to the place now where – you're making everyone hold everything. They can't have a private conversation with their girlfriend, with their husband, with their friend, in a restaurant, in their house, in an elevator, because cameras and recording devices are everywhere. And some of the conversations that are said in America are private conversations, and when you overhear my conversation, you may be in disgust in what you hear about my conversation, but that's my private conversation. And what happened with this man is that someone overheard his conversation with someone else and reported him because they knew who he was. Don't get me wrong. I am still in disgust of what he said. But my question is, when do we start penalizing people again for private conversations? Go ahead, Kobe and the man.
Oh, for a nosy person? Oh, you got to be kidding me. I didn't know that part of the I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't mean to jump in on you, Tracy, but sometimes when you speak, you have those long pregnant pauses, so I just drop
but
in.
But I can do that. Go ahead.
Yeah,
and I'll call you.
Okay. Yeah, I think that with the situation, like Congress make no law respecting establishment of religion, so on and so forth. That means that a person's not going to get arrested for saying, I disagree with the president. This guy didn't say I disagree with the president. He just called the black president an N-word. That's the difference. That Congress is not going to come down. The state of New Hampshire or whatever is not going to come down and arrest the guy for saying something. But it's different as in a public, as the taxpaying public, they have their own First Amendment right that they can say to this guy, hey, you're a jerk. We want you out of office. They didn't shoot the guy. They didn't call the militia out and sit in front of his lawn or do anything like that. They just said to the guy, hey, what you said was disrespectful, is ignorant, is hatred. We want you out. First Amendment rights.
Oh, so someone got their feelings hurt. Oh.
Amenti, hold on. Hold up, Amenti. Hold up. Go ahead, Jeff.
So you're going to tell me, Kavita, man, that you think that if they don't say it, that it's okay, huh? And so as long as they don't say it, we keep them in office. And see, this is the fool's gold you're going after now. You're not going to stop somebody from thinking that you are a N-word if that's what they think.
No.
And if that's what they want to do, you're not going to change your heart that way. And guess what? I could care less. I don't try. I try to do this. I try to be the best person I can be. And I don't care who likes me or don't like me. I got my agenda, and I'm about my agenda. And so, therefore, wait a minute,
hold on,
sweetie. You know, that's the whole thing. You're not going to stop anybody in authority from thinking what they think. And just because they don't say it doesn't mean they don't think it. This man has not acted in a manner that has been something crazy before, or else they would have been. They should have removed him for acting in a way instead of saying something.
But he said something in a private conversation.
Private conversation.
And that's my question. When do we start policing this? Go ahead, Alabama.
Yeah, I was just listening, and I think black people are so deceived where it's just sad. Like, we'll get into an uproar about something and then turn around and contradict ourselves and get an uproar about the complete opposite. Like, we'll say, there are no black players in the league. It's racist. We want to be in the league. Then when we get in the league, now we call the people slaves that are in the league. Like, we'll have no set of rules or demands or things that we're really trying to accomplish. And I feel like we can't go and fight after every racist comment and go after everybody because people are going to have that in their hearts forever. Like, and homosexuals are the same way. It's like, but the only thing with homosexuals, they're organized. They have the president's ear. Like, nobody's really congratulating a guy who comes from the hood and struggles and gets a good grade and gets his master's and graduates and gets in the NFL, but he'll call a gay guy. I mean, it's sad. I mean, it's like we, you know, nobody's going to help us. And I hate to say it, sometimes I think Jeff has a good point in that if we went back, it will force us into certain things. Now, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see people getting dog whipped for sitting in restaurants. But I would like to know, oh, you don't want my business because I'm black. Okay, I'm not giving you my dollar. I'd rather give my dollar to a black man.
And I'll keep my dollar and put it in my pocket.
I'd rather give it to a black man, quite frankly.
Private caller, your mic is on.
Hello?
Yes. Good morning.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I just want to make a statement. I don't want to be interrupted. I want to make a statement. You guys can chop it up either way you want to after I'm off the air. As far as this, black people are so sensitive about the N-word. Let me get this straight. You have a police commissioner who used the N-word to greet the president. The only way I can think of...
He didn't greet the president. No, hold it. He did not greet the president. He was having a conversation about the administration.
Sitting at a table.
Sitting somewhere, having a conversation with someone else. He wasn't greeting the president. He was having a conversation, and it could have been about the president. And he called the president an N-word, but he wasn't talking to the president. He wasn't greeting the president.
That's what I initially heard. They said he greeted the president.
No. He didn't see him face to face and call him the N-word. That's not happened. That's not how that happened. He was having a conversation with somebody else, and someone overheard his conversation and reported him knowing who he was. Now, don't get me wrong. The disgust of him doing it is there. But we have to be honest, and we have to be real with people and realize that people say stuff that we don't like. And if you catch anybody in an off season, in an off moment, you might hear anything.
Well, I don't think it's appropriate for someone to be in any position of power to make statements like that, especially public safety.
It wasn't a public statement.
He didn't
make a public statement. His public statement was he would not apologize.
I didn't say he made a public statement. I said for him to be entrusted with public safety. He shouldn't be allowed to be entrusted with public safety.
Then we get ready to fire a whole bunch of people.
You sure are.
We get ready to let go a whole bunch of popos and fire
as
people.
As far as people, black people being sensitive about, we can't control every time somebody call us the N-word. Well, that's not true. Because if you're Jewish, if you say something about Jews like that, not only will they drum you out of office, they'll drum you right off the planet.
No, they
won't.
No,
that's
but the Jews have power. The Jews have power, wealth, and influence. Black people don't have that.
You know, Alabama, don't jump in. Don't jump in like that. Don't jump in like that.
I was listening to you guys say, well, can we just say the N-word and don't use the word nigger? But then at the same time, you said we're just too sensitive about people using the word nigger. And you can be in a position of power and use the word nigger, but not privately. It's okay. You're just expressing your free speech, but still hold a position of power thinking about African-Americans the way that you do. I think that's contradiction.
There is a difference between me calling someone an N-word or how I feel about a certain person and saying that I feel that way about all people of his race. Just because I use the word, you know, a derogatory word, and I don't know one off the top of my head, I don't know. But just because I use one against one person that I don't like who they are or their policy or don't like them, doesn't mean that I believe that all people that are a part of his nationality are that way.
But why even use the word? Why feel the need to call someone of African American?
Diva, I didn't call your name out. I didn't call your name out.
I've been sitting here for like 20 minutes waiting for you to call me.
You're going to have to wait. There's about 15 people in here, so you might as well just chill out. 219, your mic is on.
This is Cecil. Am I on?
Hey, Cecil, good morning.
I got two things. One, there was a young lady that was on your show discussing that she wanted to expose pastors who are openly engaging in homosexuality. I'd like to have her name and a phone number. I'll have to get in touch with her.
Her name is Stacy Washington, and you'll have to give me a call off the air.
Yeah, I gotta find out how can I do that.
Do you have my number?
Facebook.
No.
Do you have my number, Cecil?
No, I don't have.
720-0000.
Oh, time out.
720-0000.
All right. And two, we're talking about this N-word. I've never heard anyone say that they've ever called a white person the N-word.
We did. I got to take a break. But hold on, hold on. I got to take a break real quick because it's the top bottom of the hour. But I did. I had a caller call in here, and she said when she was younger, she said that her mother would, her parents would call. She said they were white niggers and they were black niggers.
Yeah.
And I had never heard that before. And I'm telling you.
Okay.
I had never heard that before, and he just said he had never heard anybody white call a white person a nigger. So I'm saying she actually called them, and so there have been white people who have been called niggers in their life. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the Arab community, They have a derogatory term, and they call them sand N-words.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You listen.
I think the whole issue should be focusing on where is the wealth, power, and influence. That's where you really make a difference, not focusing on the emotional response to somebody, what some one guy says in an anecdotal situation. Where is the power, wealth, and influence? If you're going to take down a power structure, focus on the power.
Wait a minute. So you don't think a police commissioner in taking out – I'm sorry, someone who calls somebody a nigger, you have something in you because you ain't going to call nobody a racial expletive.
Diva,
even in anger,
Diva,
you are not going to do that. So you mean
is,
tell me a police –
you
tell me
shocked?
You tell me a police commissioner has no power?
Or
we complain
no,
about
I'm not
the
saying
police
a police commissioner doesn't have power. What I'm saying is why are you shocked when they rear their ugly head? You know that
– it's not about it being shocked, Alabama.
Cops that stop me – most cops that stop a person, most white cops, a lot of times, if you're dealing with poor black people, they're going to start thinking certain ways.
Okay.
So get over it.
It's not, first off, no, it's not about getting over it. Secondly, it's not about shock. We're not shocked. We know that's how some people think. It's not about shock. It's about the fact that, okay, you said it. We know how you feel. Now you need to go. And I'm trying to figure out why people are
Look at Donald Sterling. If Donald Sterling loses his job, if Donald Sterling is losing his business, that man still has $600 million. He still has the power to do people wrong. You ain't changing them with all these emotional screaming and hollering. Let's go after his money.
I guess the emotions of the civil rights movement. I guess the emotions of the civil rights movement is nothing.
Alabama
hey, guys, would anybody have been offended if he'd have called Bill Clinton white trash?
Yeah, I would have been offended.
Actually,
people probably would have.
Yes, he should have been
fired. What about Magic Johnson was true. The fact that Magic Johnson had gone to different cities and had been involved with all these women, and that was the reason why he was able to contract HIV. Those
I believe Magic
true.
Was on something
That's
else, too, man.
That was in
Those
a public
statements
interview.
True. And, the, and also the fact that Magic should not be held up as a person who's a role model because he engaged in that type of behavior.
That's
definitely
true. But that was a public interview broadcast on television, not somebody sitting at a dinner table having a private discussion.
But, yeah.
Those
are two different things, but what he said has some truth to it. The fact that Magic Johnson engaged in behavior that caused him to get HIV.
Yeah, but the man made a mistake and changed his life. You can't hold after that man for the rest of his life.
I cannot understand black folks. I'll never get it.
Rifle is slow.
Okay.
The Republican Party has brainwashed y'all severely. When you think that it's okay for somebody in that position to call people niggers, I'm sorry. I don't call
Diva,
people.
I didn't say you owner. I said go after his power. You can't go after
citizens. You can't control what
people. I take it you probably don't have a problem calling somebody a cracker. That's
no,
why you're
the best
you don't
thing to do.
Hold on,
the best thing to do is not sit your ass at home worrying about what somebody gonna do. Go get something, own and control something. Then you can fight these people. That's all I'm saying. I ain't saying it was okay.
Oh, you think that's gonna solve all of our problems?
You damn right it's gonna solve problems. Then you own something. Then you.
All right.
Alabama's full of it, man.
Can I say something, please?
Sorry, Minty. Go ahead.
No. The thing, going back to Donald Sterling, the reason why I said it was hilarious, there was an elder who once said that the way that they try to break down a black man is they're going to go straight to his bedroom. They did it to Martin Luther King. They did it to Malcolm X. They did it to Elijah Muhammad, just to name a few. And notice that Sterling was like, well, what did Magic Johnson do? He has HIV. He made love to all these women. But what I love about what Magic Johnson did, he flipped it on Donald Sterling. He
Find at
TracyandFriends.com
or 600WSOM.com.
Here's a chance to dance our way out of our constriction. Go!
gotta be freaking up and down the hang up alleyway. With the groove I only got, we shall all be moved. Ready or not, here we come, getting down on the one which we believe.
Tell me this. I want to know, why is it that I know the words of this and I still don't know the periodic table in chemistry?
Because it's to music. Music is a carrier, and it causes you to remember.
The whole,
if you like it.
Song.
You know, we have a local guy that invented a phonics thing and a math game for kids to music.
Yeah, I remember
and rapping.
I remember
yeah,
that.
It did. I don't know if it did very well, but
it didn't do Hooked on Phonics.
No.
I just, you know.
It's political.
Parliament Funkadelic. Yeah.
And you know what? I'm telling my age straight. What are you doing? Oh, that's okay.
I used to go roller skating.
Absolutely. But at Reed's Arena, I know when they came to Youngstown, Bernie Wiles went into the men's bathroom and shot up a speedball right in front of me.
Oh my God!
I was young because I was hanging out with my brother who was 7 years older. I wasn't supposed to be there, but my brother couldn't go nowhere without me.
Are you birth control?
Oh man! Listen, I had fun when I was young.
We used to do that. We were called birth control.
That's right.
You couldn't do nothing because you had to take little brother, little cousin with you. Birth control, it worked.
But
hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number 347-945-5229. And it is open mic today. I brought up the topic of there was a police commissioner in Wolfboro, New Hampshire. And he was overheard in a conversation and using an epithet to refer to President Barack Obama, and the person was insulted by because he used the word, and he was talking about the President of the United States of America, and they wanted him to say he was sorry, and he said no, he said he wouldn't say he was sorry because he said in his mind of the definition, that's what he described the president as. And so now everybody is in a tizzy, and I am saying that private speech is private speech, and somebody overheard him. And I don't need an apology from you if you don't mean it. So I'm going back to what Diva said, I think, last week or week before last. I asked Pianki to give Diva an apology, and she said, even if he did, I wouldn't accept it because he wouldn't mean it when he said it. So why would you make me say I'm sorry just to have words flying in the air?
Can I say something to you?
And I have to agree with her on that.
I hear you.
Because if you don't mean it, then don't say it. But you still owe me one.
Nobody, no Democrat, nobody on the left, nobody, when Senator Byrd was alive and in power, he said right on the floor of the Senate, well, I guess there's just as many white niggas as there is as black niggas. Nobody said nothing to him. Nobody said nothing to Jesse Jackson when he said, Hymetown. We're going to Hymetown. Okay, nobody said nothing. Okay, so
what about when Jesse Jackson wanted to castrate the current president of the United States?
Well,
yeah, I remember that. I remember that one.
Nothing happened, and once again, there you go. The thing is the only time you get in trouble for saying something racial or even perceived racial is when you're a conservative. And so, therefore, you have a conflict of interest and you have a disingenuous charging And that's what you're going to have here. You're going to start seeing people press back against this. And the pendulum will swing.
So, yeah, let me say something.
Go ahead, Kavina Man. Kavina Man, go ahead.
Yeah, let me say something first. You can hand out get-out-of-jail-free cards to all the races that you want to. They are not valid in our neighborhood. We don't accept that currency.
What
so
are
you
talking about?
I'm just saying, you can stay here all day long. You can say all the racist things and hallelujah, praise and pastor Jesus. But I don't care. It doesn't work in our neighborhood. You say something racist, we're going to call you on it.
No, you ain't. No, you ain't. Hold you. Wait a minute. They're going to call me on it, but you ain't going to do nothing about it.
No. Hello? No. And guess what? Then why are you ready to vote for Hillary Clinton while her and her husband was up there remarking about Barack Obama, who you say you love? Come on. See, that's the silliness that goes on that keeps you marginalized. That's why you're the poorest people in the country. We are poor as a people with all the money that comes through our hands because we think goofy.
440, your mic is on.
Yeah, somebody made a comment about who used that word. What the heck's
yeah.
going on there?
I'm not sure.
Eric,
he's not on there.
I had
440.
Still there?
Yeah, you're there.
Yeah. I had a black gentleman about my age, and I'm 65. He used that word on me at the Mosquito Lake boat ramp. He said it in jest because we had a mix-up loading, unloading boats. But it's used a lot, and it's not just used against black people. I mean, there you go. I'm not black. I mean, it's used. It's used a lot, and it's used with other, you know, somebody said with sand and hillbilly and whatever. I mean, it's used so much, and I don't think anybody should use that word, really.
I don't think anybody should use it, but my question is...
I heard it on the radio this morning so many times, and it sounds bad. No matter what context you use that in, it
Absolutely.
Sounds bad.
But I have a question
for
you.
And I don't know if you're...
440.
You know, some of your people... Yes?
I got a question for you. I agree with you. It sounds bad. I even asked people to revert to using just the N-word instead of using the N-word, but they didn't want to use N-word because they got the privilege to say it, so they just said it. So my question is, but in America, do I have the right to say it if I choose to?
We're caught in a catch-22 here. That word in itself, I don't think anybody should use. All right.
No.
Now
I said my question is, I should not use it. You are right. But I shouldn't say other words either. Because you know what? If you say the F word in front of a gay person now, you lose your license too. So my question is, do I have, as Americans.
You can call me cracker. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
But I'm just saying, I mean, can I call people a honky? Because remember George Jefferson?
I had that happen. I don't
white
care.
Script.
And if you want to use
white
that, if you want to show your...
But my question is, do I have the right to say it as an American? That's the question is not should you use it. The question is, do I have the right to say it? My issue is, I have the right to call you, and if I'm having a conversation with Jeff, and I'm saying, you know that 440, he's an unk, bonk, 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 I have the right to say that, even if I don't say it to your face.
Yes.
Because it's America.
You have that right. You know, you probably have to, but I don't care. I mean,
Wait a minute.
You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to like me. You can say whatever you want to say about me. That's okay.
But my question is, not everybody's going to like everybody or say
the good thing about them. So, yeah, I imagine there's some people that have called me some bad stuff. If I walk in that studio and then the way you see me and then when I walk out, you're going to probably say, look at this redneck cowboy sucker coming out of here.
In America, I have the right to say that if I have a private conversation, but the question is, do I lose my show because I called you a wah, 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 wah?
No, you should.
Do I have that right?
You should.
That's
no,
the question.
Yes.
No, you shouldn't. No, you shouldn't.
I got to turn the lights off, y'all.
Gotta go.
That's
fast. See you later.
Well, that's kind
of, I just lost my show.
It's not possible to listen to what people like and don't like.
If you're sitting up there in a private conversation with Jeff in the studio, you thought the mics were off, and you was like, man, I really can't stand all these hunkies. I'm like, man, yeah, I'm sorry, Tracy, you my girl and all, but if they society has decided that they did not want you on the air.
I'm in the studio. I'm not talking about, hold on, didn't nobody say that, what's his name, Jesse Jackson?
Yeah.
When they said they had to cut President Obama's balls off. Remember that? Fox News? That's what he said.
Okay,
Whoa. What's the difference between being rude and racist?
A whole lot different.
Yeah.
A
whole lot. That was hilarious. That was hilarious,
Tracy?
Though.
Tracy?
That was hilarious, Eric.
Tracy. Yes. I'm white, and I say, a few years ago, he'd have been getting us coffee.
That's not racist.
He'd have been carrying our luggage. Oh, that's not racist, is it? See, this is the disingenuousness of those that holler race all the time, because they want to call it when it's expedient, but when they want to love somebody and go vote for them again, oh, it's okay. He didn't really mean it like that.
Hello.
He just but let it be a conservative, and boy, they're ready to kill him, put him in front of a firing squad, boil him in oil, drop him on a steak pit. See, that's why they're going to lose.
I find it hilarious.
Crazy
you can,
behavior.
You can,
Ain't nobody called you out. Please shut her off. She won't shut up. The situation is that you keep on with that behavior, and you're going to destroy yourself.
And that's what I'm saying, y'all. Y'all think this don't blow back on you.
Right.
You call somebody an F-word pretty soon and see what happens to you.
You call somebody a cracker. See what happens to you.
You can call him. No, cracker's not a bad word.
You can call him cracker.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Look, 440, you don't get it. And here's the thing.
Jeff,
for somebody to call me an N-word, it's deadly, okay, because you can keep me from, that can keep me from getting a job. That can keep me from getting a raise. They can get me from getting all kind of things if you say that in the right place. But see, for me to say it, it's not going to cause any blowback on you because nobody takes what I say as anything. And that's what you have to understand.
Hey,
hold on, guys.
Hey, Tracy. Tracy?
Yeah.
You mentioned yesterday that you're going to get me on your show.
Yes, when you're going to come
studio.
On. Yeah.
We could call it, I thought about it, we could call it White Bread Wednesday or something like that, you know? You can get me on there, and I'll tell you what all the white people are thinking about, how bad we are, and the whole deal. We'll have a good time, I promise you.
You have my number, right?
Yeah.
You should call me so we can actually make that happen, because I'd like to have you on. Because this is my issue.
Yeah.
We need to understand something. People say things in their private conversations, and you would be surprised if you heard what other people said, if you were flies on the wall. And this politically correct crap that we got going on right now that we think is going to make everybody have this kumbaya symbiotic moment is not going to happen, and it's going to blow back, and it's going to slap you like never before. And you're going to start losing your jobs, losing your position, because somebody's going to overhear what you said. They're going to record your conversation, and you are going to be in trouble. Because when you call your phone company, when you call for your cell phone bill, when you call your electric company, when you call your cable company, when you call just to find out what time it is, they tell you that the recording, this call is being recorded for customer service or principals, and you're talking in the background, not realizing that people can isolate your voice today through technology, and you can say something in the background that can be recorded, that can be pulled back to haunt your behind.
Yeah.
And this politically correct police, this needs to stop, y'all. So if you want to call me the N-word, you can call me that. And you know what? I'm not going to like it. I told y'all not too long ago, somebody called me a coon, and it took all I had.
Oh, boy.
So woo-saw. Woo.
You better than me.
Coon.
Because if you don't think, you want to talk about angry black woman syndrome, I have it. I definitely have the angry black woman syndrome. When you call me a coon, when you call me a leprechaun, when you call me a bee, I'm trying to tell y'all something. You call me the N-word, and then you slam it all together, I will hurt you. I'm not that politically correct. But America, you have the right to call people what you choose, and if you do it in the privacy of your conversation,
yes.
I'm not going to like it, but you have the right
Hello?
To say it. What?
Yeah, I wanted to say that the path to a totalitarian state is started when you try to police private thoughts of the people who are citizens of the state. So therefore, you cannot control private conversations. And if somebody tape records a private conversation and tries to bring it to the public, the things that are said cannot be used against that person because those are private thoughts, and private thoughts are the types of things that cannot be policed. And once you start to police private thoughts, that's when the government and the public starts to get into a very sort of area that is murky, that is very murky, and that can possibly lead to the state being damaged, meaning that people are not allowed to have likes and dislikes of their own.
So I got to take a break real quick, Philadelphia. Hold on that, because what you said right there meant something, and I have to say I give you a hard time most of the time, but that said something, because right now we found out that Donald Sterling, he did not ask her to record the conversation. She was doing it on her own, and she released those tapes on her own. So now how do you penalize him for a private conversation in a place where he was paying for? We'll be right back.
Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
I just wonder how many black people sit around in their private conversations and use racial expletives towards white people.
I would imagine if they were telling a story about something that happened to them during the day and said, yeah, so, you know, I was over at the place getting my car fixed and he was driving me crazy. And who was driving you crazy? I thought some old cracker didn't know what he was doing. I imagine that comes out that way. But as far as actual hate.
And there's a reason why I asked that.
Yeah.
Because I personally will not use those words. And just, I won't use racial expletives. I don't care how nonchalantly in any conversation that I have, not even in anger. That's just not how I talk. So I'm wondering, oh, yeah, I don't mind you saying the word nigger in your own private conversation because, yeah, I do the same in my own private conversations, and I don't want to be exposed.
I think part of the problem with us trying to create a multicultural society is that we want everybody to be liked by everybody else, and that's not practical.
No.
That's not practice yet.
Diva, honey, I've got two friends. You would know their names. They're famous sports figures.
Hello?
Every time we talk, they call me nigger. Okay? And it's like I tell them, don't do that. I don't like that. And they said, yeah. And they laugh at me when they
don't call
the word
you
on
nigger. They call you nigger.
Among other things. They call me BYB and blind white boy and all kinds of stuff. It's just bad.
My circle doesn't talk like that. I mean, I have a couple of cousins that do that with each other, and then they try that, and they're like, nah, I don't play that. Even when females get the call, yeah, you my itch, and da-da-da-da. No, I don't play like that. Don't call me that.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, let me do a public service.
I want to be treated how I treat other people. So if I don't do that to you and I don't do that to other people, then there is nothing wrong with me getting offended by someone trying to treat me in a way that I won't treat others.
So Diva, what you're saying is if someone was to not use that word, but they own and control everything and treat you a certain way, subhuman, you cool with that as long as they don't say something?
No, and I'm not cool with that because I understand coded racism.
Hey yeah. Diva, I just want to put this out there to help you folks and share this thought real quick. You know what Tracy said about telephone calls being recorded when you're on phone with customer service people?
Yeah.
To also know that when they put you on hold to go ask their supervisor something, unless you hear music, they can still hear you because they have a headset that only kills their microphone. It
yes.
doesn't kill their earpiece.
Yeah.
So I've
yeah.
seen people like,
well, at this
well,
point, everything is being
attitude.
Recorded.
Yeah, because
everything
you said,
is recorded at this point.
Yeah.
But, when
I used to work for MCI
citizens.
In their call center, and the stuff that people would say, wow.
They didn't think you could
They
hear.
Were on hold.
Yeah. I know. And I would say, and I've heard people that I know on the phone with customer service who use the N-word, and I'm going like, and I'm saying like, do you understand, you're not going to get much cooperation if that person heard what you just said. You know, that may
well,
be
Well, people use the N-word in every setting. White people use it, especially if you've ever lived in the South. A lot of the Southern whites, if you've ever worked in the South, Southern whites use that word all the time.
Yeah, I'm
so that's not so that's not something that is foreign.
What are you saying?
Can I ask a question? What, honestly, for black people, what is the true offense about white people using nigger? What is the true offense about it? What really offends people about it? That's what I want to know.
Why they
want to
use it so bad? I don't go around
the
saying cracker.
Itself, the word itself is supposed to refer to someone who they're trying to say is someone who's ignorant. So if you're trying to call someone a person who's an ignorant person, then you would call them that word. So, like, it's the same thing if someone calls someone a redneck or a cracker.
No, a redneck is a way of life. That's not – hold on. White suburbia has been trying to mimic black culture for a long time now. It's and when they listen to our rap music, they can dress like those rappers. They can walk like those rappers. The only thing that they couldn't do was use the N-word that the rappers was using. So then they started complaining. Well, you said, why can't I say it? No, you can't say it because it ain't meant for you to say. I'm sorry, it's just not. It's
because
just like if I sit there and have a relationship with my
history.
Mother and we talk to each other a certain way, that doesn't mean somebody else can do it. That doesn't give you permission. Why do you want to anyway?
It's not allowed because the word has a racial history behind it.
Exactly.
That's the thing. Has a racial history behind it.
Well, hold on. When you call someone a cracker, all you're really doing is telling them that I own land and slaves and I was wealthy. That's really not the same insert. That's not the same insult as nigger.
Do you know in New York City that black Caribbeans refer, like a black American, they separate themselves Yankee. You understand what I'm saying? They call us. I don't even know what the hell that's about.
But Yankee is demographic. It's right.
We're like
the Yankees were the North.
Or they even call us.
But Yankees have to do with demographic.
Never missing a beat, yeah. Boy, was it neat, yeah. Not just me, she was so neat when she did the freak with me. Never missing a beat, yeah. Boy, was it neat, yeah.
The girl's a freak, the girl never misses a beat, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It didn't work, no.
It wasn't fucking no more.
Well, if you don't know anything about this, this is what you call Parliament Funkadelic. And this is George Clinton in the early days. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is open mic today, and we want to hear from you. The number is 347-945-5229. I got Jeff in studio with me. And I started with Michael Jackson, but I don't know how I got the mothership has gone to the Smithsonian. It went to the Smithsonian, so I had to play that. guess we don't want to hear all that.
No.
What happens when you got 3 or 4 computers running over here?
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know anything about this, Jeff?
No. No. Yep, Stanley has us on hold again.
Is that Stanley?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's why you mute people. Mute people. There's a button on your phone. New technology. Unless you.
No, he is on. He's got us on hold.
Oh.
While he's doing something else.
He's handling his business.
Yeah.
Well, listen. Oh, call back in.
Exactly.
who was it used to put music on the back? Was that Pianki?
I think it might have been. Pianki's would play music while we were on hold.
It was Serenager.
It was some kind of weird piano, computer piano thing.
Yeah.
we've gone through the gamut of people with crazy stuff happening.
It's open mic, and thank you guys for playing. For playing by the rules the last couple of days. I appreciate it, and hopefully we can continue this on. See how much better the conversation is when we do it one at a time and people can actually hear what we say. And I'm going to do my best not to cut everybody off, and you guys do your best not to talk across everybody else, and we're going to be really, really good at this. Let's start. I want to go back to Philadelphia because he said something before the end of he needs dentures. he said something before the end of the before I went to break, and he said something about the police and people talking, you know, people having conversations, private conversations. And Donald Sterling, we have found out that he didn't ask her to record his conversation because he was forgetting stuff. She was recording and getting ready to catch him. And she said that she didn't give the tape out. I guess her best friend did. And so she was going to get paid, but her friend went and got paid. And I had to tell you, for those of you who are listening in Los Angeles and California, listen. Your friend, you never have friends in L.A., just so that you know that. You only have friends when it's convenient. But if they can make a dollar on you, they will sell you in a minute. You
know,
they ain't even frenemies. They will pimp you, darling, so don't do that. Who's that out there? Just said something. Eric, is that you?
Yes. Speaking of the word pimp, that's who her friend is. It came out yesterday.
There you go. He pimped out. And I want you to know, how much money do you think she got paid? Because the guy who sold the videotape that we can barely see of Solange whipping Jay-Z was $250,000. So how much did they get for Donald Sterling? You know, that's a lot for a tape.
Well, I don't know if Donald Sterling thing is a violation of the wiretapping laws in terms of, like, any type of wiretapping that's illegal wiretapping. I don't know if it's a violation of that.
The question is, it's not admissible in a court of law, but my question is public opinion, but they took his team based upon a conversation that was held by somebody else.
Well, they tried to take his team.
Well, that's true.
He's going to win, ladies and gentlemen. Sterling. Sterling is going to win. And you know why he's going to win? Because it is, first of all, his thought. You cannot take his team for his thought. He didn't release this, and he did not treat anybody disparately. He treated his players well, and they may have found out what he thinks in the background, but that has nothing to do with his right to own anything, even by the NBA standards, and he's going to win, and he and or his wife are going to keep that team.
Well, Hold on, Diva.
I'm telling you how it's going to come out.
Okay. Yeah, he had a lawyer. They said he has a high, powerful, yes. He's a very, very powerful attorney right now.
Okay. As the son of a lawyer, you should know that with any business entity, when it comes to their business, they have to protect the business and the brand. When sponsors started pulling out over Donald Sterling's words, not his actions, this is not the Minority Report, his words and how it affected that business, and you're saying, he's going to win. You don't know that. It's not a case. And the fact that those sponsors were pulling out,
hold on.
The NBA, I'm sorry, he does not have a clear case.
Excuse me.
He may have to become a minority owner. He may have to turn the team over to a majority owner, and the only thing he could get out of it is like minority stake in the team because of the perception, the fact that he's in an all-black league. You have a lot of African-Americans that watch the NBA. So this is going to be a problem, the fact that all of these statements have been made in public and they've been racial in nature. You know, this is going to be a problem.
Once again, we're talking about constitutionally and being the son of a lawyer. I understand that. And once again, I'll tell you, he's going to win. Now, if I'm wrong, I'll be wrong. I'm just giving you my opinion at this. By constitution, they don't have a right to do this. Now, they can say they have a right to do it all they want to, but when it gets to a court of law, is going to decide the fate. Now,
yeah, the fact that they conspire to do this to them is a game changer.
Well, there it goes again. And see, and they think that now that this was all a big setup by Magic Johnson.
but yeah. You know what, though, Jeff? What makes it interesting, Jeff, is that the team, they're black, right? They're upset about it. All these players, if they sit out, they're not at a level to where they can really affect them unless they really sit out. And the chance that they had to really put it to him, they didn't do it. Why? Because they need their money. So therein, it comes back to money, and we're not at a level to where we can really affect him. LeBron's not going to play next year.
LeBron's going to play.
Yeah, that's stupid.
LeBron is a punk because he won't make a move.
Is the brand of the NBA.
No. I just got done saying thank y'all for not talking on top of each other. Go ahead, 440.
The problem I have is a lot of the people in the NBA, probably all of them, knew what this guy was like. I was really surprised. I was really surprised how Doc Rivers knew the way he was but took his money, didn't say anything. But now that it came out, now we're going to say something.
Well, can you say Elgin Baylor?
Hold on. How can they go after his wife? She didn't do anything. Why don't we just punish everybody that's white? She didn't do anything. She didn't live with him. They can't take.
Steven, listen. Let's go back to Eddie DeBartolo and his gambling problems and the 49ers. Remember, his sister now takes over the team, and Eddie is not involved in the team in any way.
Right.
Because the team was theirs, that was their property, and she had nothing to do with what happened with him, and he relinquished all rights and ownership to the team, and then went over to her and her husband. So you have to understand, you can't take my property and make me sell it to somebody that I don't want to sell it to when I have a wife and a daughter or a kid or a cat who can run the team, and you can't make me do that.
Again, y'all looking at this in the context of this video.
Go ahead.
No, we're not, Diva. We're looking at it in the context of the Constitution.
We're looking at it beyond the recording.
Diva, sweetie, you cannot. I can't make you sell your car to me. Even if we have
Tracy,
a contract.
If we have a contract, I can make you do
Diva,
whatever that contract says.
But the contract does not say if you get caught in a recording, but your girlfriend in the privacy of your home and you do this, you cannot make public statements. You cannot discriminate against team players and or anything that's going to embarrass the NBA. But if I tape your private conversation with you and your boyfriend and I put it on public display, that will not make me take your child away.
You're thinking of something different because that would be legal versus civil. But
civil.
Alex posted something in the chat room. He posted, I don't know how he got it because they said it was very private. He posted the article that Adam Silver used to make his case. It says, the commissioner shall have the power to suspend for a definite or indefinite period or to impose a fine not exceeding, I think he said, $1 million, or inflict both such suspension and fine upon any person who, in his opinion, shall have been guilty of conduct prejudicial. And then he also put in Article 13A of the NBA Constitution, the membership of a member or the interest of any owner may be terminated by a vote of 3/4 of the Board of Governors.
But again, and you're terminating him, not his wife.
She's an owner. You terminate all owners.
So hold on. You mean to tell me that they can just walk in and just take the team from you just because they want to?
a contract gives them the power to do that. That's why people need to read their contracts very carefully.
Yeah, the majority owner loses, all the other owners lose their rights as well.
That's correct.
That's why people need to read contracts very, very carefully.
Diva, sweetie. Divas, I don't need a constitutional input from you. We got a whole bunch more to go.
Right.
Hold on. Sticks, your mic is on.
Yeah, has anybody thought about there's nothing more dangerous than a caged rat? And when this guy gets into court, how much stuff is he going to have on other owners that have been said in private conversation? And how do they know he doesn't have transcripts laying around?
With money like Donald Sterling, I'm sure he has a very good lawyer.
Hold on, Eric.
Especially if he's been around since when, like 95, 89?
Oh, he knows some stuff. He can't remember it, but he knows it.
that's what I think. That's what I think is going to happen with this. I think it's going to blow up big.
Can I please?
I got to let everybody else in.
Constitutional. Is going to be the key here. Has nothing to do with what he thinks, said, blah, 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 and what this commissioner is stretching to do what he did with. It's not going to happen like that, in my opinion. Now, of course, in this particular thing, I'm not going to tell you that I'm 1,000% right. I'm just telling you. I put my money on Sterling winning because he's constitutionally correct.
It's kind of hard for you to... It's going to be kind of hard. Public opinion is one thing. It's going to be kind of hard for you to take my property based on a private conversation.
This is not the government coming in, throwing him in jail, or removing his property. This is a private entity. He does not have protection under the First Amendment. I don't understand how
you... No,
Trace. Yes, he does.
Oh, hold on. What you're saying is he...
Criminal liability. He is not...
Go ahead, Alabama.
No, what it is, I think what Diva's saying... is that he has agreed to arbitration. It's not going to go to court. It's supposed to be settled in arbitration by a judge. So the problem is it's not going to be like a regular case where, in a regular case he may just lose, but this is a private arbitration thing where he's going to have to go in with just a judge and listen to both sides, and the judge makes the decision. It's not going to be like just a regular, we're going to follow the statutes of the law legally.
Now, whatever the contract says. I understand.
Yeah.
And he's agreed to arbitration, but what I'm saying is if he goes back and sues because he can, you got to understand. And then we need to understand the slippery slope that we're on with this. There is a very, very slippery slope here. And that slope is there was a private conversation
precisely
that was taped without my permission, without my knowledge.
Illegal.
He's in a pit bull.
And it was, sold.
Know who you bring
illegal
into your life.
Diva, hold on. Sweetie, you know the rules today. And it is, I'm going to stick to them whether if people like it or not. Go ahead, Eric.
And you know he's in a pit bull for a lawyer.
Absolutely. He got the money to do that. And any good lawyer would want to try this.
Oh, yeah.
Any lawyer worth their salt would want to do this one.
This is good. This is going to be a good thing to happen because he's saying he's going to take this all the way to the Supreme Court, which means
Mark Mangi when you need him.
Mark, you ask Mark Mangi. It doesn't matter. The Constitution is not trumped by somebody making up a set of rules. Because
he
if the
does,
rules
he's
are not
protected.
Will you be quiet, please? If you make up something that is unconstitutional, it can be challenged. I went through this in my position as a manager, and they made a rule that I told them is not going to stand up because constitutionally it can't stand up because you're trying to make your workers do X, Y, and Z. And you can't do that because they have the right to.
Well,
it came down a year later. That's exactly what happened.
Alex is saying that the NBA Constitution is not unconstitutional. You may be right there, but remember, this was not prepared. I don't think the NBA was prepared for a recorded statement made by an owner in a private conversation going viral, going public, and blowing back on them. This is bigger than that. This is bigger than the NBA. I hate to tell people that. and it's going to set a precedent. Don't get me wrong. It's going to change some things on the outcomes of this. But you have to understand, you are not allowed to record people without their knowledge. And if you do, you cannot use it against them. And if you do, and it's going to set up a whole lot of different precedents that we're going to have to follow.
Hey, Tracy.
No, hold on. Eric, you're next. And then there's Diva. Go ahead, Diva. Eric's too slow. What? I won't let them talk
Tracy?
On top of people so they can't talk? Yeah, go ahead, Sticks.
I had it on mute. I'm sorry. In the state of Ohio, you can record another person without their knowledge. In California, you cannot do that. However,
Diva, show me that. Give me the code on that one for Ohio.
Not true.
Give me the Ohio Revised Code. Tell me what section that you will find that you can record my private conversation and use it against me without me knowing.
Okay, I would have to look that up, and I'll send it to you on
Facebook. You look that up and tell me that Monday.
I went through this in my own civil case, but that's another. Okay, I'll do that for you on Monday. However, the fact of the matter is, this is not the NBA Constitution would have to violate the U.S. Constitution, and it does not.
Diva, I'm not talking about the U.S. Constitution. What I'm talking about is the acquisition of the actual evidence that you have.
Okay, but this is it goes back to being careful and knowing who you deal with in your private life.
Oh, come on, Diva.
Just because something gets out and it gets out through ill-reputed means does not mean that the NBA has to overlook it. You have to
understand. You need to go to law school. Go ahead, Six.
Yeah, Diva, you stay married to somebody for 30 years, and I guarantee you they have stuff on you that will sink you no matter what your station in life is. First.
Alex, don't say about
people in your personal life because people lie. But I don't know how the NBA works that well. What happens if tomorrow morning he just signs over the entire team to his wife?
Then they take it from him. What I think Alex is trying to say is that they can take
something from her for something he did.
I think Alex is in the chat room, and Alex is saying that the NBA in their contract, it says I guess you can take the team without cause. But that's kind of hard. I just don't see it working that way. And we've seen too many cases in history where you have people who've been banned, but they've been able to relinquish their rights over to other people. And they didn't see, they should have, and I will continue to say, they should have just taken the Clippers out of the franchise.
Diva's correct on the phone call.
What? In Ohio, you can
only one person has to consent.
One person has to consent, but I can't record you.
Yeah, you're the one person.
Yeah.
You can record the phone call.
Yeah,
and it can be used in a court of law?
I don't know about court of law. But you can record
it. Yes, you can use it in the court. It is admissible in court.
So I can record everything going on from now until Jesus comes in the state of Ohio and use it against people?
Oh, as long as the law. It depends on the civil case. Like in my civil case, I recorded the person that I was having a conversation with, and it was a discrimination lawsuit. I recorded the person, and I used that recording to gain a settlement. Because if I had took that recording to court, you know, it would have been, but I didn't want to go that far. I wanted a settlement, and I was able to use it.
But civil and criminal are two different things.
But this is not criminal. This would be civil. And then you said in the state of California.
That's not criminal.
No. Okay, so there is. So Jeff,
also,
you're saying you saw this on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the revised code for that?
I don't see the revised code. I can look up.
Okay, so you're saying in the California you can't do that, right?
Yeah, in California, you can't do that. Both parties have to know that they are being recorded.
All parties.
And I think he's in California.
All parties. The way the California law is written, it's all parties. So if there's 25 people, like on a conference call, everybody has to be told it's being recorded. And they
have
to acknowledge it on the recording.
Hold on, Mike. Local call, your mic is on.
Yeah, Diva. Not Diva. I'm sorry. We had one of those senior moments this morning. Tracy. I believe we had a situation similar to that right here in the Youngstown area. when young Eddie DeBartolo ran into some problems and the NFL forced him to liquidate his assets in the San Francisco 49ers. Not exactly the same because there was, you know, I forget all the details, but we did see that play out on a local basis with the 49ers. Now Eddie's sister and brother-in-law are the owners of the 49ers, and Eddie has not been allowed to have any access to that corporate entity because of some sort of a thing. And again, I apologize, I don't have all the details because it's been
years ago.
But that did happen, and it was because of an agreement that he had entered into with the NFL to keep the NFL's public persona above reproach. I don't agree with it. I think it's an egregious affrontage on a person's private right to make mistakes and pay for them on a legal basis, whatever that may be, whether that's incarceration or some other form. But for any organization to have that kind of power to strip an owner of their property, it's setting a terrible precedent that the United States government can then overstep their boundaries and without redress to the owner can come and foreclose on any of our personal properties because we violated some unknown law to us in our country. So I'm against it. I think the principle is, it's just irresponsible. And I agree with Jeff from the standpoint that if Sterling, if he challenges this all the way to the Supreme Court can and will trump any local law or state law.
I agree with you.
That's my point of view.
And I said the same thing.
I think this thing has been taken so far out of context and so far out of the realm of reality. And what's sad is, I mean, you've been running at this thing for 2.5 weeks, as have many other talk shows. The only thing that's taken it off the radar on the sports channels is this crazy deal with this kid Sam's. And by the way, I wanted to compliment you. I don't know how you get some of the research you and Jeff get, but putting up that that blog entry that a fellow named Mark wrote in rebuttal to what's taken place is getting a lot of positive response because, I won't get into all the details, but I agreed with your posting of that, and I've posted it on my own Facebook, and we seem to be getting a positive response that I forget the writer of the article that lashed out. They called it hate speech or a homophobic rant, but it was anything but. It was looking at the reality of how far our political correct police departments have taken us and how only if you're a liberal and only if you want your agenda do you have any place in the marketplace to speak out the truth. And this guy stepped over that boundary and said, here, this far and no farther. And I'm proud of the man. I wish I could be that articulate.
He was very good at it. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Don't forget about the WSOM app. You can download it to your phone, your tablet, your iPhone, and your Android. Click there. You can call from there. You can find us there. You can listen to us there. We are there. And don't forget to tune in and tell your friends that we're here on WSOM AM 600 Monday through Friday from 9 until noon. Go ahead, Alex. Your mic is on.
Hey, good afternoon. Actually, good morning.
good morning, Texan.
Yeah. I got my boots on and everything. No, I'm kidding.
Is okay, who's got the echo in the back? Okay, go ahead, Eric. Go ahead, Alex.
You guys don't see the irony here, which is interesting, because private institutions should be able to enter into their own contracts. It's not, the NBA is no different than a billionaire's country club. You know, they have the right to exclude whoever they want based on their own rules. And so this Sterling guy entered into a contract with the NBA. And so what's interesting is now you want to violate the private interests of the NBA. You know, because you don't like it. and violate their contracts, their private contracts. So I just think that, especially Jeff's take on that it's unconstitutional, that's nonsense. It's not unconstitutional.
Why is it not unconstitutional,
you know,
Alex? It was a private conversation that was procured by someone and
illegally
and released. And you of all people, with your little libertarian self, I ought to be able to have a conversation with you when you come home in next month, and it ought to be privy to you and I. And should it be released, I should not be held accountable for it because the people that heard it didn't like what I said. Because
here's
as an American citizen, I still have the right to freedom of speech unless I miss something.
Here's the difference. You're correct that that he was recorded illegally. But here's the problem is he was not recorded by an agent of the NBA. If he has a problem with recording, he should take up a civil or criminal suit against his ex-girlfriend. And that's perfectly fine. But the NBA did not record him. And so once that recording becomes public, once it goes into the public domain and affects the NBA must act. So I agree with you about the whole recording, but that issue is not with the NBA. It's not the NBA's fault that he was that reckless to allow this to come to public in the first place. They're not violating any of his private affairs. All they know is that now it's public domain that this very racially insensitive information has entered into the public, and so they must do something about it because it is affecting the business. And in their contract, just like with the country club, it says that if he does anything that is prejudicial or detrimental to the association, all is needed is 3/4 vote from the governors to remove his interest in ownership. Is there a plain writing? Article 13 of the NBA Constitution.
Okay, Alex. Okay, I'll give you that, and it's a good argument. I like that argument. That's great.
Which is why he'll lose in court if he takes
hold on.
It to Supreme Court.
But, so if I go to court, I can relinquish my ownership of the team because what I did came against what happened. But my wife is still there.
She's a minority. She has to give hers up too.
She's half owner. She's not a minority.
He's the controlling member.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think you can give it to a spouse because technically, in most states anyway, under marriage, you share assets. Just like if you buy a house. I don't know what the laws are in California.
She
if married under California law.
She just filed for divorce. Why are you playing?
Well, if they're divorced, then, yeah, he can sell it to his wife, and that's perfectly legal. And there's nothing
that's
NBA can do about it unless.
That's not true because she also is a detrimental to the NBA Association because her past acts. Now, I don't know if their constitution has a. I don't know if their constitution has a statute of limitations. She was named in the House discrimination lawsuits, Jeff. She was also named as a defendant in those lawsuits.
But Diva, guess what? She was also named, but those were closed cases that were settled with gag orders. Just because they came public doesn't mean that you can bring them back into this case here.
Can't bring them back. Number one, Alex.
You know what?
Here's the thing that you have to consider, you guys, is that the Constitution, absolutely, you cannot go up against and make any rules by any private organization. Elsewise, when my father was trying to buy a house on a street and the neighborhood association said we will not sell any blacks, guess what? That didn't stand up. And guess what? That's illegal. And guess what? I don't care what the agreement they had and that they agreed to abide by, nobody could be punished for doing it because it is un-freaking-constitutional. And that's what you have going on in this case. It's unconstitutional. And first of all, you said if he does anything to cause X, Y, and Z, he didn't do a doggone thing. Whoever that girl is did it, because that was his private house, his domain, and in the United States of America, he has a right to say in his private house what he wants to say. That girl
you
took his privacy. Please be quiet. That girl took his privacy. Thank you. That girl took his privacy and banded it in the public and made money on it, and so therefore it is not going to stand. We'll just see what happens in time.
Jeff,
hold on.
Jeff,
go ahead, Alabama.
I think what Diva is getting at, and I think she's right, is that this is just like when they have problems with the players and the union, they go and settle it in arbitration. If you enter into a contract, just like a country club, which I think Alex is right, if you enter into a contract, then you have to solve it. And you know what, Dev, I'm going to say this too. I hope you're right. I hope he doesn't lose the team, because then these black players are going to have to take a stand. And I want to see if they got the guts to do it. I just want to see if they get G-checked, what they're going to do. Are they going to stand up, or are they going to punk out and go? Because they need the money. Because they're out here having babies and strippers. Let's see what's up, and then we're going to see what's really up. It's going to be fun to watch either way.
That doesn't make us – here's the thing. You know, somebody said that –
I didn't call you out.
I'm sorry.
I didn't call you out.
The coach thing, though. Go ahead.
That
said the coach knew he was like this and took his money. Listen, for us, understand, I've had racist bosses for pretty much all of my public life except for 2 years' time. So guess what? We deal with that all the time. That man has done nothing wrong. He is maintaining to make sure he takes care of his and his own, because that's the way it is in America at times. Okay, so don't blame the coach, who is an excellent person and an excellent coach as well, and for dealing with something that he could do really nothing about.
You can't make a person not be a racist.
No.
And I hate to tell you all this, but there's racism all around you, and there, it's in unseemly places that you don't really realize that it's there. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
But the main thing is, can a private organization draw up a contract which can be unconstitutional, which can violate constitutional rights?
Yes.
Well, the thing is, though, Philly, think about it, though.
Constitutional rights under contract.
It's like if a player doesn't like what a team is doing, even though the union and the owners came together and agreed that this is how it's going to be, they upset, so they say, you know, I don't want that. I want this. Well, then you don't have grounds to stand on as a member of the union. And with the Players Association, they all agree how the NBA should operate. So it's kind of it's a losing battle to me. I think he is going to lose.
But I don't think they can force his wife to sell. And I know Diva said there were other issues. The other issues regarding his wife was because of his alleged discrimination lawsuits as a landlord. The wife was part owner of the buildings in those things, and she was named as the defendant in due course. That's not the same as the fact that she did the crime. She was owner of the building. And, you know, when they sue everybody who looks like they got money. And obviously whoever owns the building obviously has at least the building as an asset to attach. And so
Mike, what gets me about this whole situation,
yeah.
Here it is, this chick, whatever her name is,
yeah.
This chick has no skills, no abilities, nothing. She just basically set herself up because of what's between her legs.
Yeah.
To get millions of dollars. Now she's going to get a reality show. I hate stuff like that. I hate to see people come up off of
Hollywood,
off of nothing.
Yeah, but she's not. That's not a woman, though. That's a tranny. That is not a woman, and that tranny is definitely not mixed with black.
That's a
transvestite.
Thank you.
That's a tranny. That's not no woman. And that thing is not mixed with black. I don't care what nobody say. That's all I got to say about that.
You know, guys.
But if you don't own a team, you would have lost it right now, Amente.
You know. The question came up of whether or not the NBA can make her sell or whatever. The NBA can do whatever they want to, just like a country club. If they stop liking you, they can kick you out. That's their private rules. They don't even need a reason. I mean, I don't think people really are grasping that. They don't need a reason. If they don't like you, if they consider you detrimental to the brand, to the association, they can kick you out. With three-quarters vote, they can do it.
But I like how Magic – I'm sorry, yeah.
It doesn't – all this criminal stuff and lawsuits, not that it doesn't matter. These are private organizations. Private organizations are allowed to enter into any kind of contracts that they want to. You know, it's not like there was any kind of slavery or any – nothing – unconstitutional that in the contract that he entered in. All the property that he attained and the value of the property was attained through association with the NBA. So I don't really understand what people, you know, and if it passes on to the wife, it's the same thing. So the NBA still has the same rights to, you know, remove his ownership. But they're trying to do it.
Well, Magic Johnson, like you said, at the end of it all, you know, you can say I made love to all these women or whatever and caught HIV, but you need to check your woman because she dragged me into this. I had nothing to do with this. This was a argument over jealousy. I took a picture with your woman that looks like a Dodgers game, and this is how I got dragged into this. If you really look at it, this was a couple's dispute. And it just got all out of hand because she decided to record the conversation. Well, she decided to record the conversation.
But the problem is she has no self-respect and dignity for herself to let a man sit there and talk to her like that in the first place. So
that's not
she
a woman.
Looks,
why do y'all keep calling
whatever,
that?
Whatever the creature is, that creature that he was talking to like a beast should have at least said, you know what, I don't have to deal with this. But because she got something out of it, she sat around and allowed him to talk. He basically bought her, basically.
You know who else did this? Don't forget.
Bought it.
Yeah, because remember,
he bought her
what's
a
that guy named? Mike did the same thing
cars.
To him, too. Huh?
I said he bought her several luxury cars and a luxury apartment, a condo.
Yeah, people would take a lot of derogatory treatment if you give them $2 to $3 million worth of assets. You know, I might let you call me nigga a few times if you gave me $2 or $3 million of assets. I mean, so.
You guys don't know anything about that. I'm sorry that you missed out on us.
Man, I'm going to tell you, I was in the best of shape. I was in the service. I had fun doing this time. You hear me?
I was too little. I was.
Oh, you know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Jeff. Yeah, Jeff, sure.
What'd you say, Alabama?
I said, yeah, sure. Yeah, right. Okay, yeah.
Man,
you know what though? I'm gonna say this about that music. That music is like unlike anything else. Like not just his music. Like people that played instruments. Like even up to the '80s, people were actually bringing out original new stuff. It was just the best. It was the best of times. Now it's like everybody sound the same. It's okay, this is hot, let me go do it. But these guys were like that before that came out, nobody had ever heard those instruments, the sound, the way he put it together. It was a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. A beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing.
George Clinton, just like Prince and them, musical genius.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, musical. Prince can play over 20 instruments, actually. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I take Prince over Michael Jackson.
Well, it's two different people.
Two different things.
Yeah, definitely two different people.
Prince
is
just
unbelievable.
I respect Mike, but I take Prince.
Well, I got you. I'm with you on the edge on that because Prince is a consummate musician. Mike doesn't play that many instruments, and Prince plays, what, 20?
He almost plays everything.
Yeah, he's a genius. I mean, he's a literal musical genius. And so that's the difference. His whole first album he did himself. Yeah.
Was Prince supposed to be some high school, like, all-city point guard, too? That just don't even look right.
No, I don't think so, because he ain't but
5'7". I heard he was. I'm dead serious.
Not unless he was playing Little League.
somebody joked and said they went to his house. And Prince came out there and really could ball. He was just shocked, like, this dude really can play.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it just
Eddie
looked
Murphy.
Crazy.
Eddie
yeah,
Murphy.
I heard that, too.
Eddie Murphy said what?
He said the Prince could play ball, and then the Wayans did a spoof on it.
Yeah, that was Charlie Murphy.
That was so funny.
You know what? Hold on, I got a call coming in. 330-599, your mic is on.
How you doing today?
I'm good.
I'm coming from a unique perspective because I used to own a football team, which is a professional indoor arena football team. And hold on, let me get away from my dog. And the team or the league decided at one point they wanted the team back, and they came and took it, and I sued them. And I got into a situation that was very similar to what he's going through. And the judge basically sided with me and said that the league just can't take the team back. They basically stole it, and I got treble damages off the league, which basically means they had to pay me three times what the team was worth, which, of course, bankrupted the league.
Wow.
The proper response for the league would be to go in and just cancel all the games, which renders the team worthless.
That's
what
I said.
You called somebody a nigger? Is that what happened?
No.
I got into a dispute with the league over something they wanted me to do that I refused to do. And they wanted the team back because they wanted the games to be played, and I refused to play the games.
Okay. Was this basketball?
No, this is football.
Oh, okay.
So Mike, I said that they should have expelled the Clippers from the NBA completely.
That's exactly what my judge said that the league should have done to me rather than come in and try to take the team back to force a sale. If they cancel all the games, that renders the team worthless, and then he's forced to sell by economic reasons. But you can't come in and just take the team and decide you're going to sell it from them because it's like illegal.
That's right. And that's what I thought because I actually own the team. That you can expel the team, but you can't expel me from my property.
Tracy,
correct.
To what the gentleman was saying, is the amount of money that you would be making Mr. Sterling pay is well beyond the action that he took to do anything. Because court is going to prove he didn't do one thing that caused any problems. He did not do one thing.
I spent about $150,000 on my team. The court came back and said that the league owed me $450,000. If they come back and do the same to Sterling, if he decides to fight it and they come back and decide that, they got to pay Sterling three times what the league team is worth, that league's in a lot of trouble financially.
$2.5 billion.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of money and essentially what happens is because the teams all belong to the league, all the other team owners become liable for the debt. And, of course, yeah, at least in our situation, all the other team owners didn't want to fork up $50,000 apiece just to pay me to get, you know, to get lost. They basically lost the whole investment. They all lost
wow.
their teams completely.
Wow.
You know, and it's, you know, I can give you my name. You could Google it, you know, off air. You can verify what I'm saying is true. Because
give
it's,
me the name.
You know, it, name's Robert Boyd, B-O-Y-D.
Thank you.
And the name of the team is the Carolina Ghost Riders.
Also,
did they play against the Montgomery Maulers?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't understand you. What?
Did they play against the Montgomery Maulers?
I'm not sure. We had like 13 games. I bought the team mid-season, and they wanted me to keep playing a couple games, and I just refused to play the games over a dispute. And the league came in and basically said, no, you're playing the game, and no, I'm not. And the minute they forced me to play the game, they've now stolen the assets off.
Wow.
Wow, that's heavy.
And then that's where I'm coming from. I mean, you own the name, you own the licensing. You're the one responsible.
That's right.
And what they should have done is they should have expelled the Clippers in its entirety. And then
yes,
expelled
they,
TNT for all of that.
If they expel the Clippers from the league, they're totally within the legal authority because, you know, the NBA is not forced to play games.
Well, I have a question.
And just steal his assets.
I have a question for the caller.
Yes, go ahead.
Is what you did was detrimental to the business of the organization you was affiliated with, and would it have caused them to lose business?
It would have caused the other team, what they wanted me to do is to play a game against another team, and I refused to play a game against the other team. But because the other team had put out money to travel, had to pay the players, the other team would have been out money. But, you know, the amount of money they would have been out was, you know, minor compared to what they ended up losing. They should have just cut the losses at the $5,000 and not played the game.
And see, David, I understand. You're trying to bring the public emotion into
right.
this. But what I'm saying is it was still a man's personal property, and because the NBA was greedy, and when I say they're greedy, they should have expelled the team. If they had expelled
yeah.
the team, then they would have – but they wanted to hold on to the franchise and get rid of the owner.
Right.
And you can't get rid of me and get rid of my team because I can take my team out of your league and shut it down if I choose to.
But didn't he have a different contract than the NBA? The NBA contract is a completely separate agreement than what he had with the Arena Ball team.
That may be true.
I mean, they're all the same lawyers. They're pretty similar. In fact, the guy who started my league owned an NBA team. And at some point there was an accusation that he actually used the same contract. And whether or not that's true, I don't know. But you know, they all use the same lawyers. They're all very similar.
No,
they all had writing that the teams can come in and vote to out team owners, and you know I have the contract still. They're like 50-60 pages long, but those sections of the contracts aren't legal. You can't come in and take my stuff without paying me for it.
Thank you. See, that's exactly what I've been screaming here this morning. Diva.
Go ahead.
Okay, the situation is I've been saying that no matter what you draw up as an agreement, if it's not constitutional, it's not going to stand. And I'm saying that the NBA agreement is not constitutional.
Well, it's constitutional that how they're trying to execute the contract is not constitutional.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If you look at the law, it's like if you go back to Eddie DeBartolo.
Right.
If they could have expelled the 49ers from the NFL.
Yep.
and because he still owned it. But he chose to relinquish ownership and give it over to his sister and not have anything to do with it and then remove himself completely from it. So he was no longer associated with the 49ers in any way, shape, or form.
Check this out.
They won't even let him into the coach's hall of
fame. Right, but he was convicted of something and found guilty. So therefore, there was definitely something with something else. Mr. Sterling would not be found guilty in a court of law for doing this, causing any damage to the league or to anybody else. He didn't cause damage to anything but his own personal look. And that's all that happened during this. He didn't hurt the league. He didn't do anything. He didn't even hurt the team. The team was still playing and winning. You know, and
right.
so the thing is you're going to have to prove that he maliciously and purposely caused a problem here in the situation, and he did not.
Did the team lose last night?
No. Alabama, no.
It doesn't matter. You would have to prove that he caused damage not to just the team but the league. You know, he can do all the damage he wants to his own team, but you can't damage the league. Which is what the league's argument is, but he didn't do any damage to the league.
When you have players threatening to utilize their power by striking, when you have sponsors threatening to remove themselves and void their contracts, when you have people who are threatening to boycott the NBA, that is
they weren't boycotting the NBA, Diva. They were boycotting the Clippers.
They were against the league owner, the team owner, but not.
But not the NBA. They weren't they
can withdraw all the sponsorships they want against the team without issue. I mean, that's a personal issue for them. But it wasn't harming the league at all. There was nobody saying, hey, I'm going to withdraw my sponsorship of the NBA.
The NBA, each team has separate different sponsorships. The NBA itself is
correct.
Not a sponsor per se. But when the sponsors were pulling out, sponsors were dropping the Clippers faster than a mama on crack dropping her baby.
It doesn't matter. A team doesn't need sponsors to play. As long as he wants to fund the team out of his own pocket, you don't need sponsors. You don't need one sponsor. I ran my team without any sponsorship money all year. I just cut the check out of my own pocket. It didn't matter to the league whether or not I had sponsors. As long as I was willing to cut the check, it don't matter. You don't need sponsors.
Okay.
Listen, social justice does not fit the Constitution. I'm sorry. And when you think that you have a social justice issue, which I understand the emotion of what he said, could be seen as hurting somebody. But he did not level those things against anyone, except he told his girlfriend, please don't embarrass me because my boys are already teasing me about you bringing black people to the games and hanging out with them. I'm asking you not
and
to
he,
do
he
it.
Could have stood out in the middle of the, he could have stood in the middle of the damn basketball game and said that. It wouldn't have made any difference. I mean, he was wrong. It doesn't matter. But he didn't hurt anybody. He didn't hurt the NBA. He didn't hurt anybody but himself. The proper response from the public is to simply not go to
his
games.
There are 23 other owners that are Jews in the NBA. So when he says his friends are getting on to him about her hanging with Magic, who specifically? That would be very tough. I would love to find out who that is.
He said it's the culture as well. He made it specifically. He said it's the culture. That's how the culture is. That's just what it is. He said that, sir. You have to think about that. That's deep. So what is he talking about?
And guess what? I hate to tell you this, and Robert, are you still there? I believe, because from my own personal experiences of being around the NBA, it is the culture of the ownership of the majority, not all, but a good majority of the owners of the NBA that it is a good old white boys rich country club, keep all y'all other people out.
I don't think you're going to have three-quarters vote or two-thirds vote to support. I don't think so. And this is why.
I think
Mark
you will.
Cuban said it.
It's a slippery slope.
Mark Cuban, this is a slippery slope. Because then for any reason that they stub their toe,
somebody could come take their team, and they're not going to vote to just do that.
I don't know about that.
I'm just telling you.
Human nature.
This is going to blow over.
What'd you say, Robert? What'd you say, Bob?
The issue they're going to have is you're going to have all kinds of people who, if I vote no on this, the public's going to find out I voted no, and now they're not going to come to my game. The PR is just going to be a nightmare if they vote no.
But if they vote yes,
a legal battle is going to be ridiculous, and at some point they're just going to negotiate it out. He'll transfer ownership to his brother just to avoid, you know, the legal stuff. You know, if he has a brother, I don't know. I mean, he'll transfer it to somebody that he can keep control, just not name only.
Can he transfer it to a person that he doesn't know? My name is Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y.
Somebody that he can quietly pull the strings behind the scenes, you know?
He's seen how to pull any strings. I saw him the other night on Anderson Cooper, and he don't have long. It ain't going to be that long. He's going to be in a nursing home soon anyhow. It won't make a difference.
Yeah, you can call me.
Pretty
much. Experience.
I can handle this. Listen, I'm done for the day. You guys can call in. Call in again. We will do this again on Monday. We'll have open mic on Monday. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. Hope you guys have a great week in it, and please be safe. God bless you, and we'll see you then.
Bye, Tracy. Now, if anybody heard the last 30 seconds of the show, they would think she was sweet all the time.
I mean, am I the only one that saw the humor in Donald Grammer when he did that interview with that guy? I mean, it seems like I'm the only one that saw the humor in that. Because he just completely put his foot in his mouth. He showed he didn't know nothing about Magic Johnson. It looked like he had something against Magic Johnson. And he definitely didn't know nothing about
He's jealous of Magic, but what I found interesting was the point he made about blacks not putting money back into the it's true. I mean, he's telling the truth on that part.
I have to disagree with that because as someone, as a black person in my community that does stuff and work with other communities, I don't care if you go to the worst black community ever. Someone somewhere is doing something for those children or they're working some kind of youth program.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I do think Jews operate differently. They'll actually work, put their money together to help someone start a business. Yeah, you go back and work at a school or give some money to a public school system, you're not really helping. You're helping when you're trying to help empower.
You're doing something because
When you give money to a public school system that has hundreds of billions of dollars and you give them $1 million, it's not going to really help them.
Yep.
No, my school system out here suffered, do you hear me, from Sandy. So they lost a lot of money. And a lot of the programs that those students have, they don't have it anymore. So we've taken money out of our pocket to help those students. I don't agree with that. To just say that you're not doing nothing, of course you're doing something. You're putting something into the community. No, I don't agree that all
that. Okay, let's not make it like, okay, if you don't do anything. But what I'm saying is the problem I see is that it's not really empowerment. Now, that deals with your ideology. If you don't think that way, then you're going to disagree. But at the same time, I think he's making a point about a lot of people that my friend works in Chicago. He can't get a bunch of professional athletes to give 0.1% of their salary to start an investment group. These are professional athletes, but they'll take that and wear it around their neck. I mean, these are the type of people we think. And then when you say something, that's not true. That's not true. I believe it is. I'm sorry.
Well, your statement about Jews, we got to.
Hold on. You said
that
your friend
offered. Because I can give you a whole list
offered,
of Jews who directly
go
into the inner city and help kids. They've been featured on 60 Minutes and everything where they grab kids in kindergarten and train them and teach them. And if the kid is college qualified, they'll pay his college and stuff. They just repeated that broadcast. Saul Kahn, teacher to the world out of a little closet in his apartment, quit his job as an investment trader and started making videos to teach kids math and science and everything else. And Bill Gates' own kid signed up for the program. And That's when he finally got some financial backing, but he was doing that all out of the goodness of his heart to his own financial detriment. So you can't just blanket anybody, Alabama, just saying just
no, I'm not saying that, but when you look at – I agree, Mike, that you can't blanket every person. I know people specifically that are doing things to help black people. What I'm saying is that if you look at a whole, when you talk about the talented 10th, as Du Bois talked about, they do not come back. They move out into the suburbs, and they buy and consume pretty much 95-99% of their wealth is consumed by themselves. They're not helping. And to sit up here and say that that's not true is really not being honest. Now, if you want to say that there are people.
You need to talk to some of these high-paid professional athletes because they don't get all that money, Alabama. I can put you on the phone with friends of mine whose names you would know from the world of sports, the NFL and everything else, and they will tell you that when you see a guy get a $100 million contract, he is lucky if he ever sees 25 cents on the dollar. The rest is eaten up by the club owners and the league and the agents and everybody else, and they're lucky if they get a quarter of that money.
But how do you just eliminate – hold on, wait. But how do you just put the people in the neighborhood that's trying to put something and do something for these children? How do you just brush them off and go, well, the people –
I said talented 10th, which means there's a 90 percentile as well. So maybe that's who you're talking about. But I'm not talking about them. So, I mean, we're talking about those individuals that when they get somewhere and they have something for themselves, this is a truth. When you talk to a lot of these rappers – they complain, well, it's not my job. I'm like, well, I don't know. You're buying a $400,000 car, and you got kids that can't get books in certain schools in Detroit. I think you do have an obligation.
I think
it's different for a black person. Go ahead.
No, I don't know the situation. It sounds like the situation such as Chicago is very dire right now, and I can't judge that. But, I mean, there are people in the industry who are rappers, who are whatever, that do things for the community. It's not advertised, but they do, you know, and they don't get the credit for it. But I don't know what's going on in Chicago. It seems like it's getting real serious out there. It sounds like it's like...
What's your name again? What's your name?
This is Amenti. Hello.
Okay,
I hear you, but check this out right here. This is what I'm saying. Let's look at Jay-Z, right? I won't sit up here and say Jay-Z hasn't done anything, but you watch The Fabulous Life Of. I remember Britney Spears, good example. Britney Spears used to charter a jet to go get her some coffee when she was in New York. They'll just fly a jet, spend like $100,000 to fly a jet way over to the other side of the country just to get her some coffee. Like, this is the type of lifestyle that a lot of celebrities live and people that get to a certain level. And I just don't think there are certain athletes I know particularly that made it to a certain level, and they drive the same car, like Alfred Morris for the Washington Redskins. He said, man, I'm driving the same car. I think sometimes people, look, I'm not saying that you have to give me your money, but I do think you need to, I think if I make it, I feel as though I would have an obligation. Now, how I would do that is different. I ain't going to just give nobody no money either, but you need to do something. You don't need to just sit there, and you got all these professional athletes, and only one has made it to a level where they can even own a team. And here we got Joe Montana about to spend $400 million to build a stadium right next to where the San Francisco. Why is that? Dan Marley's taking over Phoenix, Arizona. Now, I mean, you can. It's other dynamics involved, and I agree with you. But I think we are bad with money. And let's just go ahead and own up. We do have a problem with spending, especially as professional athletes. Watch the documentary called Broke. And then come back and tell me these guys don't have money.
I know. But you know, you're also lumping them in. You know, a lot of people, too, who made billions in the Internet craze and everything else, again, famous people who head up companies that you would know the names of, they're not known for their over-generosity and charitable giving either. And the sports figures, you just have to understand something about sports figures. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry with an idea and a matching skin color is putting on them all the time to get the money out of their pocket for some crazy idea. These guys have wrapped themselves behind a wall of agents and investment advisors and everything else, and they do. Some of them do a lot of charitable giving that will never do it in their own name because they don't want the word out that they're a soft touch because they get nothing done. I've been close to that mess, Alabama. I've seen it firsthand, and I remember one time I was up in Cooperstown for an induction up there. And I'm watching what's going on with some of these black athletes and stuff, and people just coming up to put the bite on them constantly over money and everything else. And one of them, I said, how do you keep it straight? One of them actually told me, he said he's got two sets of business cards, one in his right pocket, one in his left pocket. And if he says to you, hey, that sounds like a great idea, and he pulls one out of his left pocket and hands it to you, says, here, contact my agent, let's set that up, it's going to die right there, because the minute the agent sees you got one of the blue cards instead of one of the green cards, they already know that you're just a crank and they were just trying to blow you off. That's what they have to do to protect themselves from people constantly trying to put the bite on them. Now, as far as giving goes, the largest single donation to an African-American college in the history of the United States, which turned out to be the largest donation, was Bill Cosby to Howard, personally, out of his own pocket, gave $100 million. Nobody, none of the billionaires in this country, nothing, ever gave $100 million to a college, let alone a black college. So people do what they do, but, you know, some of these athletes, their money is tied up. Some of them are on budgets. Their agents are just controlling them.
I got a couple of guys that's from my hometown that I know that are professional athletes, and they got these agents running their money, and I'm like, what gives these agents the qualifications to handle your million-dollar portfolio?
I know that.
And I know one guy in particular that played for the San Francisco 49ers, Fred Beasley, is completely broke. This guy played in the league for about 12 years and don't have 50 cents because they took his cars and everything. And that's what I'm saying is like,
and
all I'm saying is that
broke, and I know one guy, and I won't mention his name, has a Super Bowl ring, and he's working as a forklift operator in a warehouse in Houston, Texas, at a $19,000 a year job.
No, I'm going to tell you something. If I ever get $100 million or whatever, I'm not just going to take $20 million and just throw it at a bunch of people without any knowledge, without any understanding of anything, and just hope that they do better. I'm not saying that. But I do think that some things can be done whereby you can sort of set up to help individuals. Like right now what we're doing, my brother, he's working through the minority GOP or whatever. They're about to have this consortium or whatever he's going to call it where they're going to have grants come in. And I told him you don't need the grant, but he's saying he want to use the grant. Mm-hmm. But they're going to have this thing on how to start a business for $1,000 or less. And they're going to aim it to the African-Americans in the community, right? And they're going to do – so I'm just saying, like, something like that would probably – because I think you have to start somewhere. And you can't, it's not always about writing out a check more so than it's about getting people in the right direction, the right resources.
Yeah, but Amenti brought up a good thing, too. There's a lot of unsung heroes in the community. When I was growing up in an inner-city housing project, it was not predominantly black. It was predominantly poor white in this particular housing project. But – of half of the men who took us kids under their wing and would coach us in baseball and sports and give of themselves to help us, half of those men were black men, and they were unsung heroes. And they were ordinary factory-working guys who, at night when they came home, changed their clothes and came out to the fields and played with us kids and taught us things and stuff. And, you know, and they're unsung heroes. I still remember their names to this day, and I'm going back 55, 60 years ago, you know?
And I talk like that because I had kept saying I want to do something for my community, and I want to do more than just work with the school as I'm doing now, because a lot of these children, they don't have nothing for themselves, you know? They really, it's sad. Some of these children really have nothing for themselves. And while you have, like, the 5%ers and the Hebrew Israelites and their heart is in a good place and trying to help the community, I just think there's other ways, you know, to help these children, because a lot of them, they don't have no direction. These kids, they have no direction.
I once met a young Muslim from Iraq, a college student, 22 years old, had just lost his job. He was translating for the American generals over there. So not only did he lose his job, but now it was outed that he was helping the Americans, so he was the target from the terrorists, okay? And we assisted him getting to the United States. Well, he happened to get on a prayer line one day here in the United States and heard a whole bunch of Americans praying for the people in Iraq. And he was so touched by that that here's a kid, college kid, running for his life, has no money in his pocket, gave the third largest donation to that Christian organization they had ever received. And I was on the committee, and I tried to return the money to him, saying, no, we understand. You know, you just lost your job, and this and this. And, you know, that 22-year-old kid taught me something, and I never forgot it. He said, I believe you give from what you have, not when you have. Isn't that, wow, profound for a 22-year-old kid, you know?
What irritates me, I will say, is that Alabama? Who was the guy talking? I don't even know.
That was guy. Alabama.
Oh, did he hang up? What irritates me the most?
No, that's me. That's me. Go ahead. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get it.
What irritates me, I'm not saying I don't understand where you're coming from. What irritates me, I was talking about this today, is I want our people to start shifting their mindset to elevated things. Like, okay, I help out with the school. Okay, yes, dance programs sound cool. Music programs, that sounds cool. But let's elevate to something else. Let's do a school yearbook. Let's do a magazine. Let's do, you know, the core curriculum is important. Let's make a Jeopardy for these children. Is there something else that we can do as black people besides dance and perform? Is this all we can do? Talent shows? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm the main one. I'm the main one that I hate to see. The only business we start are restaurants and beauty shops. I'm tired of that, too. Let's do something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. Like, that's the thing. It kind of irritated me because here we are sitting amongst these Spanish and white and Jewish whatever teachers, and then the Caribbean lady's like, yeah, let's bring back dance. And I'm like, come on. And when I'm like, hey, can we do like a school, like writing a yearbook? And the principal's like, well, yeah, yearbook. And I'm just like, where's the mindset?
What school district? Because our school districts are completely different here in Ohio. We have yearbooks. We have yearbook club. We have a program called Scope.
Is it middle school, elementary, or is it high school?
In our elementary schools, they have yearbooks. They have yearbooks. They have writing clubs. They start younger with special academic programs.
I had the same thing, but this school around here, they don't have that. They don't have school yearbook. They don't have school yearbook. They don't have magazine. I was in all that stuff. But the way the principal explained it to me is you got to have a voucher. But when after I have the baby and stuff and settle in, I'm really going to talk to the principal and ask her because the school has nothing. And the people who run the parents.
What do you mean? What do they mean by you have to have a voucher?
Yeah, a lot of the programs that the way she explained it was a lot of the programs that you want to have in a school. There's a voucher that comes with it, like paperwork you have to do with it, especially like for music. I was like, really? For music and all that stuff? That's why they don't have that. And like I said, this area was hit real hard with Sandy. And for when Sandy hit, they said that they lost most of their money. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So the school district that you're in, because here you just have to basically have someone who is willing to basically take on that commitment. Like, parents can't just start something up unless it's outside of school. But in school, you would have to have an administrator or a teacher sponsor the program.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it's funny you say that because that's why I said after I'm settled, I'm going to go to the principal directly and talk to her and have a plan, like a business plan, and say, look, this is the idea, and I would really like to do this for the school. How can I make this happen? But right now,
you have to look at the budget too. Will they have the budget to do it?
Well, yeah. Trust me, when I decide to make that move, I'm gonna have all that laid out in front of me, and you know, because you know, yearbook, school magazine. Of course, that's paperwork. That's a lot of stuff with that. I'm sure. But what I'm saying is the neighborhood I'm in. What I'm saying, Diva, is I feel like our people get stuck in. Let's dance. Let's perform. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have so much other things to do. Teach children about economics. Teach children about, like, what he said about this. Teach them that. Let's talk about the core curriculum. Let's do classes on that. Let's do something to elevate their mind.
Yeah.
They can always dance and play basketball.
Yeah, because if a white guy came into your neighborhood in Mente and said, hey, all you black kids, now this is all you're good for, singing and dancing, back to the minstrel show. You know,
exactly.
I mean, you would resent it. You would go crazy. We'd be talking about that here for weeks.
Yeah, like, are you kidding me? And so, and it kind of hurt me and it offended me. And I'm like, we got so much more that we can do. I'm tired of dancing. I mean, it sounds nice, but I'm tired of it. Let's do something different. We can always do music and dance, but like, let's really step it up here. You know. And that's the part that irritates me with the community.
Amente, There was a program in a lot of the schools back in the day, and I guess they're still going in some states. It's like 4-H, but it's for business. I think they call it DMLA or something like that, where they taught kids how to start a business, like Junior Achievement or something. In the movie Risky Business, they talked about it a little bit, where you know the kids get together in high school and they pick a project to make money with, and they build it and they raise the funding and everything, just like they're running a little company and they have to get a profit and they get a grade for it at the end of the year. Are they doing any programs like that anymore to teach kids some entrepreneurial skills?
You have to look, but from what I see, I don't see that. I know out here they're doing that for the adults.
Yeah.
But for the children, no, I don't see that.
Yeah, see, now this summer, well, my first intern arrives on Monday to spend the summer with me. He wants to know how to be an internet entrepreneur, and he wants to be taught because, you know, he's realizing his college degree that he's halfway through is not going to get him a job. And now they're telling him they want him to change his major, and he's only going to have more debt and 2 years under his belt instead of four. He still won't even have a degree in what he's going for. So he's coming, and, you know, and from time to time I'll take on the responsibilities of having interns here. But I love it because I get to share with them, and I get excited because even when I was teaching apprentices back in the day when I was working construction, a lot of those guys went on to own their own business, and a lot of those guys, the majority of them, were minority people. And, you know, traditional minority, black or Hispanic, in a very an interesting dynamic, an interesting city. The city was growing in white-collar income and going down in blue-collar income, and they started their own businesses, and they were able to hire other people and everything. And I'm excited about passing on whatever I could teach them for the year or two or three they were in my life, you know. And see, that's the kind of stuff I really like to do. Along what you say, and I did it when I was living in a five room apartment on the first floor of a building, a three family house I owned, that was in the ghetto. For, and again, I don't mean that as a mean term. I kind of feel great affection. That's where I was raised, you know, so I wasn't threatened by the fact that, you know, once I had a black neighbor and the other side was a Puerto Rican neighbor, I wasn't threatened by who my neighbors were, you know. I didn't feel put upon, you know. But and so I think I understand what you're saying about the people in the community, the unsung heroes, that would get together, try to help.
Can I switch the subject up just a bit, real quick?
Okay.
Remember the caller from the Arena Football League who tried to make
and
his
I have
case
to grab this
as
caller.
Why? Okay, he tried to make his case as to why he feels Donald Sterling will win his case based on his own case.
Right.
Now, I look this guy up. Now, he's saying that he sued the Arena Football League in civil court, and he won. But I'm looking at his case, and I'm like, his case was based on not the fact that they tried to force him to sell the team. It was the fact that when he bought the team, the commissioner misled him on the team's assets. And he said he lost $140,000 in the venture. So basically it was, and he sued and he won. And then they had to award him more money. He won by default judgment because the guy never responded to the claim. So he won by default. So it didn't actually go to court. And then the plaintiff presented his side, and then the defense presented their side, and the judge was like, well, here's who I decided upon. No, the guy didn't even respond, so he won his on default. So I just want anybody to think and believe that his case has anything to do with Sterling's and how that will operate the same. No. That's all I want to say.
That guy was a mess.
He was a mess. I was like, what the... It was just a lot of confusion. I was just confused because Alex really laid out the contract and the specifics, and they still weren't getting it. And normally they'll agree with Alex because he's usually right on point with his reasoning and his logic.
Mm-mm-mm. It has to come with responsibility in the community. The Alabama hang up? It has to be a responsibility in the community. Did he hang up? I think he did.
He probably did.
Tracy, them always on somebody else's side.
Oh,
huh? Where you pop up from?
I've been here listening.
Yeah, I don't understand.
She always go to the extreme, talking about it's a slippery slope. I hope the guy lose every. I mean, he ain't gonna lose everything. He gonna get money. It's not like he losing money. He gonna be getting money, but he gonna be going out. So I hope he do go out. And like Alabama said, if they don't, I'm gonna see if the players gonna stand up and be men, or if they just gonna punk up.
NBA
contracts are guaranteed, and the fact that they have a union behind them, I guess it goes according to what the contract between the union and the NBA league says, and if they have the right to strike, that'll be very interesting to watch.
Well, Jeff thinks he know everything. You can't tell him nothing.
And he's supposed to be the son of a lawyer.
Yeah.
I'm like, you talk about that right up under your dad. Well, what did you learn? Because I've never sat up under a lawyer, but just in my research and knowing law, you're not making any sense, buddy.
I don't know. I don't know what world Jeff lives in. I don't know. I don't know how. I don't know where Jeff was raised. I just is like, what in the world? I heard Jeff say one time that I don't think prisoners should get jobs from out of prison or something one day.
That was Pianki. Because Jeff feels the prisoners should gain their rights after their release.
Pianki said that? Was Pianki that said that? Oh, no.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Listen there. He didn't.
I wanted to talk to Alabama because he was talking about Chicago, and I noticed, like, Chicago has been such a big topic about the communities and what's been going on out there. I wanted to really hear what he was saying. Chicago, I don't know. It seems that's the start of the everything, the Black Panther, the gang, everything, and it seems like everything is just in the upside down on that side.
These young kids, man, I swear, it's bad to say, but I'm like, some people just should not be operating in society. I mean, prison can't even hold them. They need to be rounded up and at the very least put on a private island all by themselves and just if they want to kill each other off. Do it that way. You should not understand.
No. You have to. I was talking about this. You got to dig deeper. It's all psychological. A lot of these kids are hurting. It ain't really all their fault. You know, you got to look at the psychology of the Black family. Mothers hold on to their son. They show favoritism towards their son. And then there's mothers, there's that guiltiness of being a single mother with your son. And then it's just, I don't know if you have any sons or any, I don't know if you have any sons, but I do. I'm going to have two. And then there's that fear of something happening to your son. And then these women are also crippling these boys. There's a lot of boys out here, ADHD,
How does that turn you into a hard-headed, cold-blooded killer that you just don't care? You would think nurturing doesn't turn someone into a killer. Nurturing has been proven to be effective in changing negative behavior or preventing negative behavior in children. I don't have a son, but I have a 17-year-old brother who, he's not my biological brother, who I've basically adopted as a brother over the past 10 years. And to see how he has changed, yes, he's going through some stuff. He lost both of his parents by the time he was 14. He grew up in poverty. I get it. He's a biracial kid, you know, not understanding who he is, growing up in white people, in white society. I get that. But to go around and say I'm going to kill someone, especially I'm going to kill someone look like me, I just don't understand how that's the problem.
But see, that's the thing. When you get into the situation, it's not always that someone is just killing somebody. sometimes these young boys, like, for example, out here, they sit here drinking liquor that they know they can't handle. These kids are too young to drink. They get all crazy. They start arguing and fighting. Someone pulls out a gun. The intentions is not always to kill somebody. It's just that it just, unfortunately, it becomes a murder situation because these kids are out there doing what they have no business doing. You know when you're young, you think it's cute to drink and act stupid. You know what I'm saying? And that's what happened.
No, I didn't do that when I was young. But I grew up in the inner city of Youngstown. Violence was all around us. I grew up with the same people.
You said Naptown? Is that what you said?
No, Youngstown.
Youngstown.
I grew up with, it was basically considered murder capital of Ohio at one point.
Oh, wow.
Because we're a smaller town. We're not as big as Chicago. But, man, we can have 100 and so homicides within 1 year. And it's young black boys killing each other because they're trying to prove something to each other. I hung around these types of. I've dated these types of guys when I was young. When I was younger,
mm-hmm.
because that was the cool thing to do in such a small city. You know what I'm saying? You give it the biggest
right.
ass, but that's only there. But I hung around them. I have cousins who have the same mentality. They just really. It has nothing to do with mommy, daddy wasn't there. They. It's just that they don't care. We all grew up with in poverty. We all grew up in the same circumstances. Some of us made different choices. Others chose not to. They chose to fall into the streets and whatever. I'm sorry. I just can't sit here and say, oh, you came from a bad home, and I feel sorry for you because you want to kill so-and-so. No, yeah, you have an anger management problem. We might help you with that, but it's something in their psyche to where they have a disregard for human life, and I don't think it has too much to do with daddy not being in the home and
how do you come to a point where you just have a disregard for human life? There has to be something there. There has to be something there. My little cousin,
I'm not gonna say it,
he's
not,
doing 3 years
not,
right now for robbing people. No responsibility. Before he did his time, after he got sentenced, he tried to kill himself. But that's bullshit. If he wanted to kill himself, he would have did it. But my point is, there has to be something there. There's a core. There's something missing for these children, especially these young boys, to now come to the point where it's not hard for them to just try to shoot and kill and hurt someone and not think about no kind of consequences that can happen afterwards. That's how I'm like, there's some. So what is there that's creating this? It's coming from something.
Yeah, it's coming from something. But
come on.
I just cannot have any sympathy or compassion. I can have compassion and sympathy for the circumstances that you came out of, but I can't have sympathy or compassion for what you have become because there are plenty of others who came from the same circumstances who overcame. So I can't sit there and have compassion for you being a murderer. I can have compassion for, yes, you might have been abused as a child. You were deep in poverty. Your mama was on drugs. I can have compassion for your situation, but the fact is you made a choice. No one put a gun to your head. No one forced you to act the way you acted. I have cousins who went away for murder. They got mad at me because I wouldn't support them and put money in their books to come and visit. Why? You put yourself in there. You weren't doing any worse than anybody else in our neighborhood, but you chose to go out and rob somebody. In the course of you robbing somebody, you killed them. I'm not going to support that. I'm not going to be out here free such and such. I just can't do it. When I see my friends talk about free such and such, I have a friend who went to prison for a gun. You knew you weren't supposed to have a gun. I have a friend who went to prison for selling drugs. You knew you weren't supposed to sell drugs. I'm not putting money on your books. I'm not supporting you in that. Oh, you wrong. You a sellout. No, I'm not. You put yourself in that. I have no sympathy or compassion for you putting yourself where you are.
I hear you.
Now, what we need to do is we need to change the dynamics of black male and female relationships. It makes no sense. We have our young ladies. Oh, this is the worst thing. Our young ladies sitting down laying down, not sitting down. Well, they do it anywhere now. Popping out babies with every nigga. I'm not going to say that word. With every man they come across. And then because she's offering it, that man decides it's okay to go up in it without using protection, gets her pregnant, and then walks away. And he does the same thing to the next female. That's what we need to change and stop right there. We need to change the relationship between black males and black females. If we fix that dynamic, the rest will change.
Look at this, though. Again, it goes back to what I said before. A lot of mothers treat their sons different than their daughters. A lot of these mothers can't even let their sons go. They're treating the woman in their son's lives as if that's a woman taking away their man. You understand what I'm saying? We're not taught how to have relationships with one another because you have a mother who's telling their son to be respectful towards a woman, but she's only teaching him to be respectful towards her, not towards other women, because she's his only woman. You see, it's little stuff like that creates the separation. I remember after living with my grandmother and seeing how much she showed so much favoritism towards the men in that house that I almost grew a hate for men because I got so upset because of all the favoritism that I would see, especially with these mothers with their sons. And this is why I'm having two boys on top of that, but it's another story. But you understand what I'm saying? So we have to change that type of dynamic. If anything, these poor girls, man, I see it all the time. I saw, hello?
I'm still here.
Yeah, I saw let me tell you a situation real quick. This guy had his son was on his bike. Him and the mother got in an argument in the park. This boy tried to take out the air in the tire, so the mother's like, yo, are you kidding me? Are you really doing that right now? She kept running her mouth because she could, you know, because he was about to take the air out the baby's tire. So he got up and punched in the face while she had the baby. The mother tries to come between it, and then next you know, she's fighting him, his girlfriend, down the block, and the mother's about to fight the mother. You understand? Where was the elder in that situation when the son tried to take the air out the bike? Why didn't the mother step in and say, hold on, son, what are you doing? I don't care what y'all go through. Don't put the baby in it. It's little stuff like that that I see in these communities that creates a lot of havoc, immaturity, emotional immaturity.
But, and the fact of the matter is that we think having a baby automatically makes you a man or a woman. And it brings about maturity, and it makes you grown. When you have babies, having babies, they haven't learned to be adults, really. They haven't grown. They haven't matured. But because of a certain age or because of something, they're creating babies, they feel like. So when you have someone who is immature, who has not grown into who they are as a person, having a baby, they can only teach that baby what they know.
It's
and
Eva,
that baby
honey.
Can only teach
but,
that
but you
baby
missed the
what
point.
They know.
There was an elder right there. There was
right.
An elder, two elders at that, standing right there. That situation could have been
Does it
make them mature? I got that part. That's the point that I'm making. We have too much of that. We have too much of older people who are still 15, 16 years old. You understand what I'm saying? That is an issue, and that little piece right here that we're talking about, that's a part of the issue and the dysfunction in these homes. And it goes back to what I said before. A lot of these young men have behavioral problems, ADHD, and all this kind of stuff in the schools. We have to look into that. A psychologist said all that comes from not having a father in the home. I'm starting to believe that that's true. So we have to look at all these psychological dynamics and aspects that's going on in these homes, and we have to look at that. What is it that makes a mother turn her head if her daughter's been molested or blame it on her? What is that? You have to look at all this. What creates all this stuff?
I would have to disagree with single-parent homes as the reason behind ADHD, because I know plenty of ADHD children who are diagnosed with behavioral problems that come from two-parent homes, especially in the district that I live in. And when a mother turns her head because her child has been molested, more 9 times out of 10, she herself was molested, and either when she told, no one believed her, or she never had the courage to speak up. That's where usually that. There are some people in this world who feel like because it was done to me, or it was done to so many others, that it shouldn't be that big of a deal that it's happening to you.
Right, that's what I'm saying, and it also goes for when girls have children. There's mothers that make their daughters keep their babies because they had to. There's mothers that sit down and don't help their daughters because no one helped them. You understand what I'm saying? It's stuff like that goes on. That is a continuing cycle that's just going to keep going and going and going. This is a part of the little things in the community that's a problem.
Well, I think it will take one person to break the cycle because in my own case, when I had my daughter, my husband, my now ex-husband, was finishing up his basic training, not basic, but AIT training, and then he had to go on to report to his military post he belonged to. I was suffering from postpartum depression. I didn't understand it at the time. My mother didn't understand at the time who I was staying with. She said, well, you just got to do it on your own because nobody was there for me. Now, if my daughter was to have a child, I couldn't imagine not being there for her.
Exactly.
The same things that I went through in my childhood, my mother was very aggressive in her discipline, sometimes overly aggressive. I can't imagine being that way to my daughter. Now, when she sees, she has a friend who experiences abuse in her home. And I tell my daughter all the time, that is not a proper way to treat your children. Parents are supposed to love, nurture, and guide their children. So I'm breaking the cycle with my daughter. My sister is breaking the cycle with her kids, and hopefully our children will break the cycle too with their children. And what we are teaching our children will continue along with them. But then
you might have a chain
if somebody just goes against the grain and says whatever.
The same thing here. Well, unfortunately, we have a high percentage of people. This is what's going on. This is the mentality that is going on within the front of the families, the black families. You know, that's just what I see. And it's sad because these women scream, oh, I don't want no girls. I want a boy. I want a son. I want a son. They can't even handle their boys. They boys be running them. I just find it so interesting that the same women who scream that, they can't control their own sons.
But see, the dynamic that I saw, that I see on a daily basis in the city that I grew up, is that these damaged young girls, because when I was in middle school, man, I can't even tell you how many, it was just junior high then, how many seventh graders were pregnant just to get pregnant.
We the same age, right?
I'm 34.
Yeah, you're 4 years older than me. That the same thing, too, when I was in high school. I knew girls who were pregnant in middle school to high school. The youngest one, I didn't know her, but she was pregnant in fifth grade. But the one I actually kind of knew was in seventh grade. Seventh grade girl, that was the youngest girl I knew that was pregnant.
And it's sad because when you look at the reasons why they're pregnant, they want something to love.
Somebody to love them, right. We have to look into that.
And that you have to look into. But when you get to where you are 25, 30, and you are still popping out babies by every man you came across, we have to look into that too.
Oh, yeah.
Because at some point, you may not have the resources when you were younger. But at some point, you have to, in your own life experiences, something has to click to where you got to say, this is not the way. This is not right. For you to have 6 babies with 6 different men by the time you are 26 years old. Come on. Now, it's one thing to make a mistake and, you fall in love with the wrong guy the first 1-2 times. I'll even give you 3. But by the time you are a certain age, you cannot still be running around here in the clubs because a dude bought you a drink and he is smiling in your face and you want to take him home If you want to have sex with Tom, Dick, and Harry, look, that's you. But be smart. Don't bring a baby into this, because a baby takes on a whole different thing. Now you have this kid that you don't have any time for, because now you're too busy trying to look for the next dude. So this kid is stuck without guidance or love or nurturing from mommy. And then this boy or girl is seeing you acting this way. All they're going to do is repeat what you're doing.
And I totally agree. That is a conversation that I feel needs to, like, a sit down at the table conversation and talk to these women, like, okay, you're such and such. And it's not judgment. I really want to know. Like, I told you my cousin's situation. You know, she was young. She was in relationships. The only thing she didn't do is get married. That's the only thing I would encourage for her to do. You have 4 children, 3 baby fathers. I think it's best for you to try to seek marriage in your life right now. We're the same age. But my whole thing is, like, sit down with these women and see what's really going on with that type of mentality. Because, see, my aunt, something's wrong with her. She was a prostitute, running the streets, mental issues, you see? So she was making babies and throwing them on my grandmother. I'm not saying there's no responsibility. She has an issue. You understand what I'm saying? So in some way, I don't know what the word is, but what could we do about that? You know what I'm saying? So, but there's women out here like me and you who are just popping out these children.
When we were younger, we had, like, when I was turning on the TV, we had stuff like Teen Summit. And we had programs like that. I remember we had the after school special. Like, you would come home from school, and the programs they would have would teach you on domestic violence, single parenthood. And then afterwards, they would teach you and, you know, give you information and resources. Now you don't have any of that.
You don't have nothing in school anymore. There's absolutely, honestly, there's none of that anymore. You have to seek that in your community now. Or you have to walk around and find a flyer or something. For some reason, none of that exists anymore.
I just don't get it. I look at my life and on paper, You would think that I would be somewhere, man, I shouldn't be where I'm at today. When you look at it on paper, because the statistics show that I should have multiple children, multiple relationships, multiple baby daddies, just because based on statistics. But at some point, when I looked and I saw all my cousins, I think me, my sister, and one other cousin, we're the only ones, we only have one child, but we're the only ones who have children by one man. All my other cousins have multiple baby daddies. I looked at that, and I just was like, one, to be having multiple partners like that is just disgusting.
Have you ever talked to them about that? Like, I'm not cutting you up, but have you ever really sat down and tried to have a conversation with your cousin about that? Like, what's going on in their mind with that?
I know what's going on in their mind. They're missing something, and they're looking for a relationship, and they're thinking that the only way to hold on to this relationship is having a baby. But these are older cousins than me. These are females who are older than me. But I was like, when they were having babies, I was like 12, 11. You know what I'm saying? They were like 15, 16, 17. They weren't going to listen to me. They weren't going to listen to a word I had to say.
Well, yeah, I just want to sit down with those women and ask. Like, that has to be frustrating. Men are annoying enough, and then you got 2 or 3 baby fathers. No, thank you. That has to be so frustrating. The children, you know.
Here's another thing on the aspect. They grew up without fathers. So for them to grow up without fathers is no biggie. They see it as not a bad thing that their children are growing up without fathers. So that's why when they have these babies and the father is not in their life, it's no big deal for them. Then they just go on. Well, most of them came out of their own parents did the thing, their own mothers.
Yeah, I thought about that.
So, like, their siblings are basically had their, like, their mother dealt with the situation of having different baby daddies. But their mothers were dealing with mental illness. Their mothers were dealing with mental illness. And that's a fact. But them, they just were like, okay, well, we ain't had no dad. So
that's what I was thinking about, too, because my cousin, her father has multiple children by multiple women. And then her mother, I think they're all by the same father, from my understanding. They're all by the same father. But her father has multiple children. I don't think she had the best relationship with her mother. And now she has the three baby fathers. But like I said, I don't knock her because, again, she was in a second son. She was in a relationship, and just like the third and fourth son, the same father, she's in a relationship now. You see what I'm saying? So I can see her situation, but it's like, but still, you know, but still, that's
it's
a lot.
Like my dad, my mom grew up with her parents. They were married. And my mom had us young, but my mom was in a relationship, a long-term relationship with my dad. She had three children by him. Now, in the course of their relationship, my father, who was dealing with his own emotional issues of losing both of his parents by the time he was 17, coping with that, because he had no one really around him to, how do you explain to a young boy and teach him to have and carry him through life without his parents? So now my dad has 13 children by, I think, 11 women. I would say, by 10 women. And he was never involved in our lives. Never. I took that as a personal situation. Like, when I was very selective in who I dated. I was very selective in who I dated because I wanted to make sure that my daughter wouldn't end up that way. However, I've come to learn that you can try to be as selective as you can, but even if you think you have all the facts, people are still going to do what they want to do, because my ex-husband was great while we were married, but when we separated and the marriage fell apart, he decided that he was not going to do his part for our daughter because how he was feeling about me and the marriage falling apart. And he grew up with his parents, both of them, in the home, married.
But that doesn't mean anything. You can still have a dysfunctional situation going on. Someone could be lying. You know, it's about the individual.
Well,
no. But there's some things in the community, in the home, that I do feel like, you know, the guy name I'm talking about is Brother Umar Johnson. He's a psychologist, and while I don't agree with everything he says, when he mentioned that ADHD and behavior problem, it kind of just rung a bell in me, like, you know, that's interesting, because I know a few people. So, you know, other than that, and he talks about.
I think we as women need to get with these young girls, really, and really just talk to them. I see a change now that birth control has come along, because none of my cousins' children are having babies at young age. And they're I only have one second cousin that had a baby. And she's got two now. She's got one on the way by two different daddies.
Yeah, none of my little cousins have babies except for one.
Yeah.
And three baby fathers at that.
Diva, is your father still alive?
Yes, my father is still alive.
Listen, when he goes, tell him I want to be in his will. I want his little black book with all them women he's been seeing. I am jealous.
You know, like,
I would pay him cash for that book, right?
you know, it's so funny. Like, he's such a great person. That's why I'm like, I still have a relationship with him, and he regrets everything that he's done. Like, he's such a great person. Like, you have a talk with him, you're like, wow, he's so intelligent. He's so smart. How could something like this happen?
Yeah.
And when you get into his background, but there are some men out here who just don't care.
No, I won't judge for that. You never know where the holes are in somebody's soul. I know when Millie, the girl I was engaged to when I was younger, when Millie died, my behavior that next year was pretty irresponsible. And it wasn't, it was like because I was vulnerable, I had lots of women show up to spend the night. And it's nothing I planned. It was just because I was vulnerable, and it's like the women who chase priests, you know, you know. And I'm not proud of the history, but you know, it wasn't until I looked back on it a few years later and said, "What the hell did I think I was doing?" You know, because it's not the way I am.
But
I was just hurting, and you know, because my
whole
life.
You have to be careful. You have to be careful about vulnerability, and I think that's the case with a lot of these women and men.
Yeah.
They're vulnerable,
yeah.
And you have to be careful. When you're in that type of place, you need to build yourself back up. You don't even need to have people around you unless those people love you and they're going to help you.
Yeah.
Because when you're vulnerable like that, if you look at it, Diva, most of these girls who end up having babies by other guys and stuff like that, they're by guys that they know already, guys that they've talked to already.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. And it's always, and they end up being the situations that they're in because they're vulnerable. Like,
the only thing with that mentee is they also know the other three women that he got kids with, that he's not with, and that he is not a part of those children's
that
life.
That is so true. And they don't think. Because you know how they see it? He has children.
Mm-hmm.
He's a father. So subconsciously, they do want a baby with him, and they get it, and they get exactly what all the other women get. They don't think. Because, you know, some women have a nerve to try to critique. There's women that try to critique other women for being mothers while they with guys, and I'm like, you can't do that because you don't really know what's going on. You only know what you see, what you think you see, and what he's telling you.
Yep.
So until you are a mother, then you don't need to be saying anything. And that's a lot of times with these young girls, that's how they get caught up. I'll tell you, my daughter dated a guy, and I'm going to tell him I'm really going to encourage her to not date a guy with children. I know I didn't.
Yeah.
That was my rule. Like, I'm telling her, like, don't get involved in that. Get out, boy.
Not too many of the guys that were actually in my age group had any children in school. And then even now, like as an adult, it's very hard to come across in my circle or to attract a guy that has children or multiple baby mamas. I don't know why it is. I have never had a guy ask me for my phone. No, I had one. I had one guy. Went on a date, found out he had three kids, two different women, and neither of them was his wife of 15, 17 years or something.
Ooh.
So I just think it's just something like you have to be smarter because I see it. I see it all the time with these girls, even in my own family. Like, I'm like, y'all getting tired. I know the city is so small. You know what I'm saying? For the pickings are slim. But
you have to be smarter. Speaking of that, I'm from a town called Sanford, North Carolina. And there are people that are dating people from high school. And it's one girl I know now. I think they said she got like four children, maybe two baby fathers. She had a first child when she was like 16 by an older guy. It's a lot of stuff. And the guy she's dating, I'm like, Chad, she's dating this guy? And it seems like they're dating a guy that they wish they could have had, but they didn't. You know what I'm saying? It's really weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's beating the crap out of her. And I have another friend who has one child, but she's not even really from, but she's my friend's sister. And she, you know, completely abandoned her daughter, and now the guy she's dating is beating the crap out of her. Mama. You know, I mean, it's just amazing to me.
Wow.
You know, and then these guys have babies with other women. And I'm just like, and they still get involved.
And I tell you, that's not just a black thing either, because I know lots of young white women are living exactly what you described down here in South Carolina. And they're dating men that have been around a while, have had several families, and these poor girls in their 20s think they're going to get this guy to settle down, give him a baby, and give him a home. No, that's not what those guys are about at that point.
And you know, there are guys that are so obvious, you know, but it's about who you are, your intuition. There's some guys that are obvious, and you're just like, oh, no. No matter how beautiful they look, you're just like, no.
I have a friend that I used to work with. She's a sweet girl. She's white. Sweet girl. Man, she's sweet. She's not the brightest in the kitchen, you know what I'm saying? But She's not slow or anything. She's just not worldly. And she just always wanted a baby. She came from a, I wouldn't say abusive, but her parents were very strict in their discipline. And she was in, I think she was like 24, 25. All she wanted was a baby. She got with this guy who used to work with us. Oh, my gosh. I begged her, like, you need to let him go because he was just a dog. She was afraid of dogs. And he, and all she wanted was to have a baby. After she got pregnant by him, couldn't let him go. After she got pregnant, she didn't have a difficult time to let him go. So then she decided she wanted another baby. So then she got with this other guy. So in love, but he was so abusive, and I was like, why are you attracting all these abusive guys? Like, you're a good girl, you know your work, you got your own place, you got your own money. Why are you attracting all these abusive guys? I mean, she wasn't the prettiest girl, but I mean, you know, I'm like, you can attract better because you have other things going for yourself. But she was attracted, and so she got pregnant by this guy, and then she was able to let him go. So then she meets another guy. Same guy is abusive. I swear I cannot stand these guys. I can't go around her because I'd be ready to beat them up. She got pregnant again. She lost the baby, and she is so hurt. And I was like, I just don't see this as a bad thing. Like, I know you're hurt. But I'm like, you already have two children. You have two non-existent baby daddies you have to deal with. Is it really worth bringing children into this world because you want them and they're missing out on something that is needed? Because even though you want them and you're giving them love, they're still going to be missing out on what they need, which is a father.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you're going to have repercussions from this. I'm like, just because you put with both of your parents, you know what love, you know what it is to have two parents. And even though your home situation wasn't the greatest that you thought it should be, but you, and look where you had two parents and look how you ended up. You're feeling like you're damaged. So you're allowing this situation to occur in your life. So imagine what your children are going to have to go through not having their fathers in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And having multiple men in the picture. And I try to tell her that, and my heart breaks for her every time. And it's, in this community, it's rampant. Like, my eyes have been so open when I got outside of living in a predominantly black community, because I used to think everything was true, that this only happened to black people, and it's not.
I never think it's one race of people. I think other cultures, I think from being around immigrants and stuff, they have a way of hiding it. If the girl has two different baby fathers, they will force her to marry that second father. They'll say, you're not going to shame this family. You're going to get married. That's the one thing that I see the most with especially people from other cultures.